The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
Okay, now I'll do the news intro. How about that?
And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
All right, today is Friday, October 7th. Good morning.
Read us the news quickly.
Yes.
Good thing. In the news this morning, authorities say more than 80 shots were fired in a shooting that claimed the life of a teenage boy and triggered a brief barricade situation Thursday night in North Philadelphia. Officers from the Philadelphia Police Department were called to the 3400 block of Palthrob Street for reports of gunfire. Police found a 17-year-old boy suffering from multiple gunshot wounds to the body and rushed him to Temple Hospital, where he later died. Responding officers took three persons of interest into custody, including two on foot and one person found in a black pickup truck. A SWAT team was called to the scene for reports of two males barricading themselves inside a nearby garage. Authorities breached the garage but did not find anyone inside. Investigators say over 80 shots were fired from at least two guns, including an AK-47 style short rifle and a handgun. Both guns were recovered at the scene. It's believed the teenage victim was riding a mini motorcycle when he was fatally shot, according to police. No motive has been confirmed, but police speculate the gunfire might have started from a botched robbery.
I mean, you look at the area where this is taking place. It's on a residential street. It's a war zone. Yeah.
My God. Investigators in Newcastle, Delaware, are hoping new surveillance video will help solve a cold murder case. Kevin Powers was shot and killed on February 11th, 2015. Investigators say Powers' girlfriend and her young son were exiting the victim's apartment when he was confronted by two masked and armed suspects. They forced their way into the apartment where they shot Powers multiple times. On Thursday, police released a video showing a person getting into a white Honda Civic with a dark stripe down the hood. Newcastle County police say a standing cash reward is offered in exchange for information deemed to benefit the investigation or lead to the arrest and conviction of the individuals responsible for committing this crime. Anyone with information should contact the Newcastle County Police. Allegations of year-long competition fixing have jolted the world of Irish dancing.
Oh. No! No!
Come on.
The CLRG, the oldest Irish dancing body in the world, this week announced an investigation into claims that numerous Irish dance teachers were rigging results.
They weren't using anal beads, were they?
Well, Steve, hold on a minute. We don't know.
Baby. All right.
Some 12 instructors were implicated in evidence that was passed to the organization in July. At least six other teachers are also suspected of cheating, according to screenshots of exchanges with judges. One teacher and a judge appeared to be exchanging sexual favors for higher scores.
Oh, my God.
So, Steve, I don't know. Maybe they were using
the beads. Reputation.
So we've had chess and poker and now Irish dancing.
And fishing.
The sports we could rely upon.
Oh, my goodness.
What the hell's going on?
No.
The fixing allegations go back several years. The CLRG.
If there's a badminton story next week, I'm going to
recruited a former Irish Court of Appeals judge to head up the probe. Such unethical behavior cannot and will not be tolerated by this organization, they said.
Preston, we were talking about this last week with the poker, or earlier this week, and I just, anytime you enter the word competition into something, especially if there is money involved, people are going to cheat.
Somebody's going to cheat.
Well, you pointed out, we were talking about video games, and why would someone anonymously playing a video game against other people use hacks and cheats?
Yeah. Like,
what does that do for you?
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Even in Irish dancing.
Irish dance.
In sports this morning. The Phillies will play their first playoff game in 11 years today against the Cardinals in St. Louis.
Wow.
Zach Wheeler, who threw 14 scoreless innings against the Cardinals in July, starts for the Phillies. Jose Quintana, who pitched a 2.01 ERA in 12 starts with St. Louis after a deadline trade from Pittsburgh, goes for the Cards. The first pitch is scheduled today for 2.07. Cameron Dicker will indeed make his NFL debut. Yes, Preston?
Dicker.
Saw you whip
Dicker
your head
the
around.
Kicker.
He's a kicker.
That's awesome.
So Dicker the Kicker will make his NFL debut on Sunday when the Eagles face the Cardinals. Jake Elliott is expected to miss the game with the ankle injury he suffered last Sunday in the Eagles win over the Jaguars. Jordan Mailata feared the worst after he made a diving attempt at a tackle on Sunday and his right arm popped out of the socket. But his scans on Monday looked good, and doctors say he's day-to-day. The Eagles' kickoff on Sunday in Arizona is at 4:25. And the Union has their last game of the season on Sunday against Toronto FC. Game time is at 2:30 at Subaru Park. And that's what I have for you this morning.
What's that, Marissa?
Last regular season game.
Regular season game, yes. All right.
But I thought that they didn't...
No, they have playoffs. Oh, but okay. I mean, it's their last game of the season. Okay. I don't think you misspoke.
All right. Okay. Well, listen. Welcome. It's Friday. We're happy to be here, and we have a lot of stuff going on today in fine Friday form. So we're going to give away our Word of the Week prize, Muse Home and Away. We have tickets to see the show here at the Wells Fargo Center and a trip to Las Vegas to see them there.
I love this trip.
And by the way, there was a pre-sale that happened yesterday, so tickets go on sale for that show today at 10 a.m. at Wells Fargo Center, Philly.com. Pierre's all
so excited.
Excited for that. All right. We also have joining us Michael Palisak, or is that, how do you say his name?
Palisak?
Palisak. All right. He's going to be
Punchline
this weekend, so he's stopping in to say hello this morning. We also have WWE Extreme Rules wrestler Bailey. She's been here before. Will be on the show today as well. And actress Beverly D'Angelo.
Yes.
Mrs. Clark Griswold.
Kind of a last minute thing here.
Will be joining us. Yeah, and she's on to promote The Good House. And we just spoke to, who do we speak to?
Marina
Vaccaro.
Yeah.
About that. That's correct. So she is going to be on the show. We have Yoo-Hoo Loot, a chance to win $1,000 this morning twice. So we'll do that at 8 and 10 a.m. And our friends from Red Robin are stopping by this morning. Yum. And we'll be doing some giveaways in conjunction with those guys stopping by. So a lot on our plate, several things to get to, friends. We're going to take a quick break. We will come back in just a moment. The Entertainment Report is all set to go for you with a really cool, stupid question. A listener submitted stupid question, one I did not know the answer to. We'll find out if you know the answer to it and can get a prize in conjunction with that. We'll be right back.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
This traffic report brought to you by... It's brought to you
by... Where the hell is it? I can't believe this arcane system.
Brought to you by Ashley Home Store. Explore savings this weekend at Ashley. Don't miss your chance to save 20% off your entire furniture purchase or get 60 months no interest financing with no money down. Ashley in Pottstown, Warminster, Ben Salem, and Maple Shade. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
You should sing "Brought to You By" every time to kill a little bit of, give you a little extra.
She needs to do it. Yeah.
Instead of going "Brought to You By," click, 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 click.
Well, no, that one was my fault. If I don't have it pulled up, then it takes that long for me to pull it up. Have to pull it up ahead of time.
All right. Well, listen, aside from that, we have some stuff to give away, things to do. I have a stupid question ready to go. We have a pair of combo passes for the Bates Motel and Haunted Attraction. That's our big friggin' deal this week and wraps up soon. So make sure you get that, all right, before the weekend's up. The question that I have for you was submitted by Scott Wendell. And this is a great question. Had no idea. There's a fairly subpar movie called The Light of Day with Joan Jett in it.
Yeah.
I actually liked it because it's all about, you know, bar bands. And they actually do some of the stuff right in it. But it's not a very good acting film. But nonetheless, what rock band lead singer appeared in the 1987 movie Light of Day as a member of the fictional new wave band The Problems?
Mm, oh, wow. That's a good one.
215-263 WMMR. You're probably going to have to do a little bit of research to figure this one out because I had never heard this before. What rock band lead singer appeared in the 1987 movie Light of Day as a member of the fictional new wave band The Problems? All right, 215-263-WMMR. That is the number. Let me go through some birthdays today, Friday, October 7th. We have Joy Behar of The View. She is 80 years old today.
Wow.
So, yeah. There was a time where she had announced she was retiring from The View, and she had started a company that was cosmetics-based. Do you remember this?
No.
This is all part of the thing. And then she changed her mind, but apparently she has a skin... Because she does not look 80.
Dude, if she's 80, I'm on board for whatever her skin regime is, because she looks fantastic. So, turning 80 years old today, Joy Behar. From Radiohead, it's Tom York's birthday, lead singer of the band. He turns 54 years old today.
I bet you this would drive him crazy for me to say this, but this is still my favorite Radiohead song.
Oh, mine. I like Karma Police.
Yeah. It's kind of, Karma Police is kind of sleepy for me, you know what? I wish I liked Radiohead.
So do I.
I really do.
We could play with the cool kids.
That's it.
Yeah.
Well, the cool people like Radiohead.
They hang outside and they smoke.
I'm not really into Radiohead.
There's one song I never remember the name of it, but I say it's my favorite song, but I don't know the name of it. I just kind of know how it goes.
I tried to dive in. Yeah. In fact, there was years ago, they did like a live radio streaming event or whatever the hell it was. And I go, now I'm just going to get in the right mood. I'm going to sit in a low-lit room and I couldn't get into it.
You know what I don't like is the comparisons to Pink Floyd, because I don't hear that at all.
No.
It's kind of like the comparisons of Oasis and the Beatles.
No.
I don't hear that either.
No.
But some people do, and they, I guess, you know, it's all an interpretation, but it doesn't translate with me that way.
One band I think compares favorably to the Beatles, and that would be The Image. For me, that'd be
it. Oh, no doubt. Yeah. But I have...
That's my old band back
in
high school.
I have gone back and listened time and time again, going, all right, maybe this is going to be the time, because I did that with Coldplay. I did not like Coldplay at first, and then I was like, all right, let me just give this one more try, and I was in the perfect mood, and I went back and I listened to their first album, and I was like, okay, I hear it now.
Okay. Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Gotta say
sure.
All right, later on I'm going to have put some Calgon bath beads, and, you know, whisk me away, Preston.
But listen, they're influential, they're popular with a certain crowd.
Yes.
People love them. The people who love them love them. So Tom York, happy 54th birthday today. It's Simon Cowell's birthday today.
Oh, jeez.
He is celebrating his 63rd birthday.
He looks like his own Madame Tussauds wax dummy now. He looks weird.
Constructed?
Oh, my God. He's had a face. He's had everything tucked, tightened, and it looks too taut now.
I haven't taken a good look at him in a while, but he turns 63 years old today. We also have, turning a year older, John Mellencamp.
Sipping on a chili dog.
Oh, my God.
Sipping on a chili dog.
I didn't even think about that.
You didn't?
I didn't think about that at all. No. I always miss the utter catastrophe references that Steve hits, too. So, Mellencamp, I'm telling you, man, I've seen him in concert probably 5 or 6 times, and every single time I walk out of that show going, man, that was fun. It was so much fun.
I agree 1,000%. I've seen him about that many times, too, Preston, and I will always bring up this moment. And I've said it before on air. It was the Jones Beach Theater, and it's an outdoor venue. And the concert's wrapping on one of the last final songs. And who's the drummer who's fantastic?
Oh, Kenny Aronoff.
Kenny Aronoff.
Yeah.
He takes his drumstick and he throws it up.
Yeah.
At, you know, when they're finishing up. And there happen to be, like, white big bulb lights strung across, like, right out of the natural.
Uh-huh.
The light exploded.
Oh, that's awesome. Lights,
and it's like everybody's going, whoa!
Oh, my God. Cool. Is he in town tonight or this weekend? AEG wanted to send you guys a care package for John Mellencamp today. I don't know if it's because of his birthday or if it's because...
Send it away. I love John Cleveland.
I thought I just read that he had announced a tour the other day.
Maybe that's what it is.
Remember, I brought that up in Music News, that he just announced a tour. So Marissa's pulling up the dates right now, and it starts in February.
Okay,
so,
that's what it
is. Yeah, so it's next
maybe
year.
Maybe tickets go on sale today, maybe?
Good question.
You got to figure that out.
I'll come back to you on that. Right. Marissa will look that information
Check
up.
Check It Out is one of the most beautiful...
Yeah.
Emotional songs ever. It just gets me every time.
John turns 71 years old today. From the world of rock and roll, drummer Tico Torre.
Hey!
Yes.
A Bon Jovi fame is 69 years old, and Tico's been with John from the beginning. And
do you think Tico ever gets together with Taco and Tito?
And Tito.
That's a super group.
Tito Jackson and Taco and Tico Torres.
Taco and Tito.
That's a dinner party I want to be a part of.
Yeah. I hung out with him once, and he just couldn't have been a nicer guy, at least when, you know, we were hanging out with him. Yeah, it was like an after-show party that we somehow got invited to, and, you know, John was there, they were all there, and we kind of hung with him for a little bit.
That's great. Excellent. So, happy birthday to Tico as well. And yes, Casey, John Mellencamp tickets go on sale today at 10 a.m.
Nice.
The show is at the Kimmel Camp, or the Kimmel Center. On June 3rd. That'll be pretty cool.
Get tickets if you're even remotely a fan, because I'll tell you this, you'll know every song.
I wonder when, Marissa, can you find out what day of the week June 3rd is?
Saturday.
Ooh, that's a weekend. Ooh. I can do that.
Yay.
I'm doing it. Look at me, Mom. I'm doing it.
I will have to go to that. That's a good time, guaranteed. Hey, before I go to the answer to the stupid question, I'm going to do a shout out now.
Oh.
Our buddy Joe Yoakam, also known as Intern Joe, had texted me, and he asked to give a shout out. He wants a shout out to Team Delco. They're taking on Team Monco in the Hirschberg Ryder Cup. It's at the Union League Liberty Hill, and they're representing the Workhorse Brewery. And he had said that they need some wins.
Okay.
Yeah. They need to win some
holes.
They
need 9 points.
They need nine and a half points in order to take this. But we want to give some love to our buddy Joe and Team Delco for the Hirschberg Ryder Cup. And good luck to you, man. So that's going out to everybody there. All right. Did I miss a birthday, Marissa?
Yeah.
All right, Toni Braxton, the singer, is celebrating her birthday today. So she is
a legend.
55 years old.
Okay.
All right, we're going to see if we can get an answer to the stupid question today. And it was from listener Scott Wendell. What rock band lead singer appeared in the 1987 movie Light of Day as a member of the fictional new wave band called The Problems? 215-263. WMMR is the number, and we will go to Shelby to see if we can get the answer. Hi there, Shelby.
Hello.
All right, Shelby, so which rock band lead singer was performing in this fictional new wave band, The Problems, in the movie Light of Day?
Was it Trent Reznor?
It was Trent Reznor.
Wow.
Yep. Wow. Hang on a second, Shelby.
Did not know that.
So Joan Jett was in the band that the movie is about. And Trent Reznor, and the word was, is they were shooting a scene, and they were they just needed a local band to come by and fill in and play as this band, and they were like the only band that had their equipment ready to go at that time.
Right.
And so they came by and do it. And apparently, this is the only movie that Trent Reznor was ever in. So he has no speaking role. They just show him real quick. He's playing keyboards.
That's hilarious.
He's in the movie. Yeah. So. Congratulations to you, Shelby. We are going to set you up with a pair of combo passes for the Bates Motel and Haunted Attractions in Glen Mills. It is this week's big friggin' deal, by the way. Two tickets to the Bates Motel and Haunted Attractions for just $50. And that's half price to experience the number one haunted attraction in America. And you can get it now at WMMR.com. Use the keyword deal. That's while supplies last. All right, so I have some entertainment stories to run by you guys. And we'll begin with this one. Kevin Spacey was present in Manhattan Federal Court on Thursday.
Present.
Opening arguments in the actor's civil trial. Anthony Rapp, the actor, is currently suing the Oscar-winning actor for $40 million.
Man.
Claiming that Spacey made unwanted sexual advances to him in 1986 when Spacey was 26 and Rapp was 14 years old.
You know Anthony Rapp from Rent.
Yeah, he plays Mark.
Yeah.
And he's been in tons of
Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah, and in Adventures in Babysitting,
yes.
He was the best friend.
Right.
In opening arguments, Spacey's attorney, Jennifer L. Keller, called Rapp bitter and claimed that he peaked around the year 2000 and blames Mr. Spacey for everything that hasn't gone well in his life.
What jury isn't going to respond warmly to that?
Right?
He sucks.
According to Variety, Spacey's legal team plans to bring medical experts who will testify about trauma and memory lapses. Based on their opening statements, they appear ready to argue that Rapp has misremembered or embellished key details.
So how many cases is Spacey looking at? He had those, there were the cases that were in England, when he was director of the Globe Theater, I guess he was.
Yep.
And then there's the domestic ones. There was one that was completely dismissed. Yep.
I don't remember
this
how
is like
many.
A conga line.
Yeah. So this is I think this was one of the first ones I thought that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So It's getting underway. Hey, this is an interesting story. William Shatner reveals in his new book, which is called A Bold to Go, Reflections of on Life and Awe and Wonder, that he has said that going into space on the Blue Horizon flight last year left him with a strong feeling of grief.
Oh.
Yeah.
What?
He
lost his luggage.
Oh, no. Stop. He writes in an excerpt shared with Variety, the contrast between the vicious coldness of space and the warm nurturing of Earth below filled me with overwhelming sadness.
Oh, my gosh.
He said, every day we're confronted with the knowledge of further destruction of Earth at our hands, the extinction of animal species, the flora and fauna, things that took 5 billion years to evolve. And suddenly, we will never see them again because of the interference of mankind. And it filled me with dread. My trip to space was supposed to be a celebration. Instead, it felt like a funeral. And he added that this feeling, which is dubbed the overview effect.
So it's
not
common
uncommon.
Thing. Interesting. Wow.
For astronauts in particular, and has been described by Yuri Gagarin, Michael Collins, Sally Ride, and many others. I've never heard of that before.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. Because you would think it's awe-inspiring and incredible, but it apparently, maybe it...
From that vantage point.
Yeah.
Or is it so incredible, like almost like the Olympic athletes, that it's like afterwards, you're like, well, what now? Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
I get nauseous on a Ferris wheel.
Seriously.
But Steve, I want to ask you, because you have mentioned this sort of thing, like when you are... when you do this thing where you basically pull yourself out of your body and you're essentially watching yourself.
The watcher, yes.
The watcher.
Yeah.
And, I mean, maybe that's the same type of effect?
It could be, yeah. I think what's happening is, compare the population to the scant few who have had the opportunity to view the planet from that perspective.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you could see it. To me, that would be a cold dose of reality.
Yeah.
I don't think a trip to space will make you more frivolous. You know?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff. All right. So a few other things. Jada Pinkett Smith has a lifetime of thoughts that she'd like to set down. The actor, singer, entrepreneur, and co-host of the Red Table Talk has set down, not slapped down.
Oh,
you're talking about the slap.
Yeah.
Thank you. And has a deal for what Day Street Books is calling an honest and gripping memoir that will cover her complicated marriage to Will Smith, among other topics. The book is currently untitled. It's scheduled for next fall. In an announcement, the press release stated, Jada Pinkett Smith chronicles lessons learned in the course of a difficult but riveting journey, a roller coaster ride from the depths of suicidal depression to the heights of personal rediscovery and the celebration of authentic feminine power.
I mean, honestly, what's going to be in this book that's not already in, like, the Red Table Talk?
Every episode is something like that. So I guess maybe you're going to just put them into one thing. Quick question on that, family. Mm-hmm. Does Willow Smith have a new hit out or something?
I don't know.
Because she's the musical guest on SNL this weekend.
She must have new music out. Yeah. According to the announcement, Pinkett Smith will recount her unconventional upbringing in Baltimore, her friendship with late rapper Tupac Shakur, her love with Smith, and her experiences with motherhood. I don't know what the slap, it's got to be in there, right?
Hocus is
up! By the way, apparently something that's been a big issue in the marriage that's caused a lot of these issues with her and Will comes from Will's jealousy about her relationship with Tupac Shakur.
Yeah, I think I remember.
So that was a big thing, and he's never been able to shake it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you know, Tupac was legit. He was too legit to quit.
Yeah, he was too legit to quit.
No, that was Hammer.
But
he was a little bit more. And now, while Will had a huge, success run with his music, he was a little more novelty at the beginning.
Right.
Not taken quite as seriously as Tupac. I could see that. I could totally see that.
I mean, come on. You're a successful actor. A very successful actor.
Yeah, come on, man.
Don't worry about it.
All right. This was sad to see this morning. Judy Tenuta. Brash stand-up who cheekily styled herself as the goddess of love and toured with George Carlin as she built her career in the 1980s golden age of comedy died on Thursday. She was 72. She passed away at home in Los Angeles with her family around her. The cause of death was ovarian cancer.
That sucks. She was I thought she was really funny. Mm-hmm. She her stuff was fairly cutting edge.
Mm-hmm.
She briefly dated Emo Phillips.
Oh, that's perfect.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Yeah. You know what? I was wondering about this, Steve. That era had these character comics.
Yes.
Which you really don't see anymore.
Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah. And
Bobcat Goldthwait.
Bobcat Goldthwait. Yeah. Yeah. And even Sam Kinison to some extent.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
But you really don't see that style anymore.
No.
We just had him on.
Stephen Wright.
Stephen Wright.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you.
And Howie Mandel.
Yeah. So she was definitely of a time and very, very successful in her field. By the way, her PR rep said that she had claimed that her birth date was November 7th, 1965, but she was actually born in 1949. And he said she was so old school, she would never tell her real age.
So that would be something when they wanted to get under her skin, other comics, they would prod her on her age.
No way. Aww, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Weird Al Yankovic had said, devastated here of the passing of my dear, dear friend, the lovely Miss Judy Tenuta.
And fellow accordion player.
I can't believe she's gone. Yep. He said, Earth truly lost a goddess. And she was apparently a part of his, he had a TV series in the 1990s, and she was a part of that. Tenuta gained national attention in 1987 with On Location, Women of the Night, an HBO special in which she starred with Ellen DeGeneres, Paula Poundstone, and Rita Rudner. I think we've had all of them on
one time
or another. In 1988's American Comedy Awards TV special, she was named Best Female Comedy Club Performer opposite male winner Jerry Seinfeld.
She never, well, now she'll never have a chance to work with Tico, Taco, and Tito.
Oh, that's too bad.
I think I'm going to change my birth year.
Okay.
Are you?
I am.
Are you going to move it back or closer?
Why? So I look like great for my age? I didn't even think of that.
I say, oh, did you know that Kathy's 74?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, she looks sensational.
That's a great idea. Yeah. I was definitely going to go the other way, but Steve, I like where you're going with this.
By the way, Tenuta was two-time Grammy nominee, getting back-to-back nominations in 95 and 96 for Best Spoken Word Comedy Album for, and I love the name of this album, Attention Butt Pirates and Lesbitarians. And in Goddess We Trust, she was a supporter of LGBTQ rights, took part in Pride festivals, and counted members of the queer community as enthusiastic fans. On her website, she said that as an ordained minister of Judaism, spelled J-U-D-Y-ism,
right, yeah.
She was available for same-sex marriages. And with her self-centered Judaism religion, she said, in my religion, I'm the only one that gets to complain. The really nice thing about my religion is you can forget all about your problems and think about mine for a while.
Right.
So sad news that she passed away at 72. Armie Hammer was spotted back in the United States in the wake of the Discovery Plus docuseries House of Hammer. They Call Me By Your Name star, who has been hiding in the Cayman Islands, was spotted having dinner at the popular Beverly Hills eatery, Il Pasito.
Yes, they serve human flesh there.
Pasatillo. And he was accompanied by an older woman. So he's just been seen. That's all that I know.
Can I get ice cream?
She's really old.
Not yet.
Can I get a cup of ice cream?
Kim Kardashian revealed Thursday that Kanye West did not appreciate her Milan Fashion Week looks from February. The Skims founder revealed on the latest episode of The Kardashians that he sent her a slammer about her oversized Prada jumpsuit that said, "The orange look made me so mad, would have went to jail before I went out in that."
This is what these people worry about.
He famously overhauled her wardrobe when they started dating in 2012, and Kim herself has admitted that she was, quote, having panic attacks without him as her stylist.
So here's a picture of the outfit up on the screen here in the studio, Preston. Do you give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
I think it's stupid looking.
she unzipped her hazmat suit.
Yeah, totally. That's exactly it. And she's just wearing a sports bra underneath.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to go with Kanye on this one.
Yeah. Let's see. Melissa McCarthy took to Instagram yesterday to pay tribute to her time on The Gilmore Girls. In one post, she shared a photo of her and co-star Lauren Graham embracing with a comment that says, Happy Stars Hollow season.
What?
To all those who celebrate.
Hollow!
That's the name of the town they lived in Gilmore
Girls. Stars Hollow?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hollow!
And she wrote, how was this 22 years ago?
How the F? Aren't they talking about another reboot?
Maybe.
Yeah. I know you were all about that. That was your jam.
In a separate post, she praised Graham, writing, "I have no idea how LG did all that dialogue. She was amazing."
She was in Gilmore Girls?
She I was the so. Chef. She was Sookie.
Yes.
Yeah, you're saying this as yeah. if I've ever watched even one second of that show.
Yeah, that was the name of her character. I actually did watch it. I think maybe like in reruns in the second run. And
oh, you didn't watch it when it was originally on?
I don't really remember. Okay. But it wasn't until later that I realized who she was.
It's a big cult. Yeah. Big cult for that show, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Social media users are rooting for Pete Davidson and Gisele Bündchen to get together. If she and Tom Brady split.
Dude, that would be awesome.
Dude, you know what? It'll probably happen. This is how these things start now. Among them is one of the Saturday Night Live stars' famous exes. E! News reports that Kate Beckinsale, who of course they dated, recently liked a popular meme that featured Davidson smiling about the speculation that Brady and Bündchen have split.
Listen, I would, if I was him, I'd get in her sphere and start to work that.
Yeah.
I bet there's no, apparently, no woman off the table for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not, man? Go for it. This was sad to see. Former WWE wrestler Sarah Lee died. She was 30 years old. Her family announces saying that they were in shock at her passing. Lee's mother, Terry, announced her death on Thursday in a post on her Facebook page, but did not provide any details of the cause of death. Lee won the sixth season of WWE's reality show competition Tough Enough in August 2015. And just a day before her mother announced the death, Lee posted a photo of herself in gym clothes on her Instagram and wrote, "Celebrating finally being able to being healthy enough to go to the gym 2 days in a row." She added that first ever sinus infection kicked my butt. So it's kind of mysterious.
It is very mysterious because she was in very good shape. Mm-hmm. And we're having Bailey on later.
Yeah, Bailey from WWE Extreme. Maybe they know each other.
Yeah,
they know each other. I'm not sure. For the last 5 years, Lee continued her wrestling training in Orlando, Florida. She was married to former WWE superstar Wesley Blake, real name Corey Weston. They have three children, including a baby that was born in August of last year. That's terrible news. Wow. Let's see. What else I have for you? Academy Award winner Jared Leto is moving from the House of Gucci to the Cult of Chanel. The actor is set to play former Chanel artistic director and fashion designer Karl Lagerfeld in an upcoming biopic.
Oh, that's good. Casting.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Leto will produce the film with Emma Ludbrook through their production company called Paradox.
Did you see the House of Gucci?
Yeah. I did not.
I liked it.
I thought it was okay.
We talked about this before. Yeah, I think Nick, right, he was the one who was kind of like, I was expecting way more.
Well, he was expecting it to be the Versace. He was like, when's
that's
the
right. Oh, that's
he got the movie wrong. Yeah.
I really liked it. I knew the story behind it, but I didn't know the extent of it. So to me, I thought it was really interesting.
Okay, yeah.
Leto said Carl was an artist, period. He was a fashion designer. He was a photographer. He was an artist. There was no defining him.
He was a rambler and a gambler and a sweet-talking ladies' man.
I just called him an artist. Yeah. That's a definition. He was a creative powerhouse. I feel like this is a full circle moment, and Carl would be proud of what we are doing.
Whenever I hear the name Chanel, I can't help but think of that music video that the Kardashians made back in the 80s. With the Cheesecake Factory, because they sing about Chanel as well.
I love L.A.
L.A.
Oh, that's right.
They're like, Chanel.
The upcoming film is supported by the Karl Lagerfeld Fashion House, and the feature will focus on key relationships in Karl Lagerfeld's life, told through an unpredictable lens, much like the man himself.
Didn't he create IHOP, too?
Maybe.
I think he was the Waffle House guy.
The International House of Pancakes. We're so thrilled to be here today with these various pancakes and the multitude of syrups.
In the 80s, Lagerfeld was my cologne, by the way.
Was it? Yeah. Is that your... It was I'm cologne. Getting some tonight?
Totally. Totally, yes.
Over at your car.
It was pre-Dracar Noir.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, that hadn't been out yet. Lagerfeld was before them.
CBS started carrying Dracar, the game shifted.
No director is officially attached yet to the feature.
Boy, this is one of the finest pharmacy scents out there.
Speaking of directors, John Waters is set to direct his first film since 2004's A Dirty Shame. He will write the script and direct a film based on his new novel, which is called Liar Mouth,
yeah.
A feel-bad romance.
We had him on to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. He is the... So he told Deadline, Liar Mouth is the craziest thing I've written in a while. So maybe it's fitting that my novel was shocking enough to jumpstart the engine of my career. Thrilled to be back in the movie business, hopefully to spread demented joy to adventuresome moviegoers around the world.
I'd like to see him take a crack at something like a police procedural or something.
Oh, my God.
Something so out of his realm. Yeah. Because he is really and actually very competent, good director.
Agreed.
And his stuff is great. I love it.
But he just adds really demented stuff to it. Yeah.
It's like when David Lynch directed The Elephant Man.
Right.
So it's a standard, albeit an amazing story, but he brought Lynchisms to it that made it really cool.
Yep. Mindy Kaling's HBO Max series Velma revealed its star-studded cast yesterday, and we have a friend in this cast, gang.
Oh, really?
She had mentioned this at the New York Comic Con. So Kaling will voice Velma with the rest of the Scooby-Doo gang being rounded out with Glenn Howerton.
Yeah!
Oh, wow.
Our buddy, Sam Richardson, and Constance Wu. So Glenn is going to be voicing Fred.
That's great.
And Sam Richardson as Shaggy, and Constance Wu will be Daphne in the film.
She was on It's Always Sunny. And Mindy Kaling, and obviously they have a friendship that goes back.
Yep. The three largest theater chains in the U.S. have all agreed to Netflix's Glass Onion and Knives Out mystery for 1 week over Thanksgiving, a month before the highly anticipated movie hits the streamer. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the Rian Johnson-directed sequel will open in approximately 600 cinemas, including those owned by AMC Theaters, Cinemark Theaters, and Regal Cinemas as well. And the movie's theatrical film is scheduled for November 23rd to the 29th.
And we're supposed to get Rian Johnson in the studio to promote all this stuff again.
Oh, that's awesome.
We haven't had him in a while.
Excellent.
He came in. Did he not come in for Knives Out? Was it not?
Was it Knives Out? Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was Knives Out.
I believe so, because we were talking about The Last Jedi with him.
Yep. All right, so we got new movies opening this weekend, gang.
Oh.
And it's time to talk about them.
Beautiful music.
Opening this weekend, movies include Amsterdam. It's comedy and mystery, and it stars Christian Bale, Margot Robbie, and Chris Rock. In 1933, three close friends find themselves at the center of one of the most shocking secret plots in American history. 2 hours and 14 minutes long, rated R. It gets a wide release. To Rotten Tomatoes score so far, pretty low at 35%. I was really happy to see this and had no idea that they were making a movie out of the story of Lyle Crocodile. I loved that book when I was a kid.
I wasn't familiar with it, but apparently this is a beloved book.
I had completely forgotten about this until I saw it this morning and was happy to see this. It is a kids musical comedy. It stars Javier Bardem, Constance Wu, and Brett Gelman. The plot is... When the Prim family moves to New York City, their young son, Josh, struggles to adapt to his new school and new friends. All of that changes when he discovers Lyle, a singing crocodile who loves baths, caviar, and great music, living in the attic of his new home. The two become fast friends, but when Lyle's existence is threatened by an evil neighbor, Mr. Grumps, the Prims must band together with Lyle's charismatic owner, Hector P. Valenti, to show the world that family can come from the most unexpected places, and there's nothing wrong with a big singing crocodile with an even bigger personality.
Goddamn right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So it's an hour and 46 minutes long. It's rated PG, and it gets a wide release, and Rotten Tomatoes scored 67%.
That's pretty good.
Is that the guy from Stranger Things that we talked about yesterday?
Yeah, Murray.
Yeah.
I forgot the actor's name.
Brett Gelman.
Brett Gelman, all right. And then, finally, another movie opening is Catherine Called Birdie. It's an adventure comedy, and it stars Bella Ramsey, Leslie Sharp, and Joe Alwyn. And the plot is, the year 1290, not 1920, the year 1290. In the medieval English village of Stonebridge, Lady Catherine, known as Bertie, is the youngest child of Lord Rollo and the Lady Aislinn. Her playground is Stonebridge Manor, a house that, like the family, has seen better days. Financially destitute and utterly greedy, Rollo sees his daughter as the path out of financial ruin by marrying her off to a wealthy man for money and land. But Bertie, like all the great teen heroines, is spirited, clever, and adventurous, and ready to put off any suitor that comes calling in increasingly ingenious ways.
Uh-huh.
Running time 1 hour and 48 minutes long, rated PG-13. And it's in theater streaming today. Rotten Tomatoes score 86. Okay, so I had a moment just like Marissa did. The girl playing Bertie is, that's our, oh man, she's from Game of Thrones. Lady Mormont. She's the young one.
Yeah. Oh, the one that you always, you love her speech.
Ariana,
right?
Not Ariana. Yes.
She gives that.
Liana. To, Liana right. Mormont. That is awesome. And it gets a good score. So yay. All right, now we're ready to play the clips for you. Here we go. Hellraiser is a modern take on the 1987 film in which a woman is confronted by evil forces from a puzzle box. And here, director David Bruckner talks about creating the look for the horrific character Pinhead.
We really ran with this idea of flesh is leather. I mean, what is leather meant to represent? And pushing the boundaries of body modification, it was something that felt very Hellraiser to us and allowed us to get... a new and exciting image, which for me, that's the spirit of Hellraiser, is to always advance design in unpredictable ways.
Yeah!
Hellraiser is available for streaming on Hulu today.
I'm watching it this weekend.
Excellent.
Absolutely.
Next clip, here we go. Luckiest Girl Alive is filmed based on a novel by the same name in which a woman who seems to have it all together is unraveled by trauma. In this clip, star Mila Kunis weighs in on author Jessica Knoll's control over her character on set.
Jess was always so open-minded to my interpretation of the character. It's one of the things that makes me, like, call her one of my favorite writers I've ever worked with, is honestly, she writes these amazing, really delicious and complicated characters, but then disattaches herself from them and allows the person to interpret that character.
Luckiest Girl Alive is available for streaming on Netflix today, by the way. Text here. I wanted to give a shout out. This is from Rich and Jay that are from VMSC of Lansdale, which is an ambulance service for North Penn. They are in Fort Myers, Florida right now, running 911 emergencies, listening live, and they want a shout out. They said it's rough down here, but we appreciate you guys. Well, Rich and Jay, you guys are doing amazing work. We appreciate you more than you can imagine. So a shout out to those guys.
Absolutely.
And you got a tough job. So hang in there, fellas. And thank you for listening. We do appreciate that. All right. Let's see. We have our friends from Red Robin that have arrived.
Yum.
And we're going to be doing some giveaways this morning. So make sure that you hang in there because they're doing a meet and eat. We'll have your opportunity. You know, I'll give away one now.
Yeah.
How about a $50 gift card?
Nice.
Right now to caller number 16 at 215-263-WMMR. Reminding you that Red Robin's Cheese Lovers lineup is back and cheesier than ever. They're serving up these two burgers that we're enjoying today and fondue pairings, including the irresistibly dippable beer cheese fondue.
Ooh.
My God, do I love beer cheese.
Oh, yeah. Don't mind if I fondue.
Oh, all right.
So, by the way, I think there's some pretzel rolls.
Oh.
All right. Let's get that to caller number 16, 215-263-WMMR. And we'll take a break because we got a lot to get to. We got guests. We got stuff to give away, including $1,000 Yoohoo loot continues, and it's a Friday morning, so no sad bro. We'll be right back.
Preston and Steve's 25th annual Camp Out for Hunger, supporting Phil Abundance at Xfinity Live inside the Wells Fargo Center complex. Starting Monday, November 7th, they'll be live from inside the Bimbo Bakeries USA broadcast tent.
Hey, gang, your support has always been amazing, and we're hoping you can help out again.
Plus, we've missed your faces. Come enjoy some Dunkin' coffee, have fun, and say hi.
Donate non-perishable food items at our drive-thru drop-off with volunteers equipped by Stoffer Gloves. love and safety, or make a donation at WMMR.com and at the register of your local Acme Market. Preston and Steve's Camp Out for Hunger.
Made possible by Comcast Spectacor and the Philadelphia Flyers, Whitehorse RV Center, Keen Compressed Gas, Xfinity from Comcast, Wisfist Bank, and Mayfair Fence.
93.3 WMMR, putting Philly first.
Steve, you wanted to mention something.
Yes, for our good friend Craig Ligons and the Comic Book Gurus. It is tomorrow, Saturday, October 8th, from 4 to 6 p.m. It is the Comic Book Gurus podcast live. They're at a thing called Skate or Die Film Festival. This is in Pottstown. It's at the Ringing Rocks Roller Rink.
Oh, I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been there a long time.
It sounds really cool, Preston. Totally awesome 80s roller skate party, Stranger Things costume contest, a screening of the 1987 cult classic movie The Gate, which is really cool. Live podcast with the Comic Book Gurus, Craig, Rob, and Steph. They're all going to be there talking horror comics, horror movies, playing horror trivia games, handing out prizes, and there's going to be food, fun, frivolity, and you're going to bring your own, if you bring your own comfy viewing chair, that'll probably be a good idea. Tickets are $20, and kids under 12 get in free, and you can get tickets at skateordiefestival.com.
Nice.
Thank you.
You are welcome, sir. All right, so I think we need to clean out the junk drawer because we're heading into the weekend and a lot of things that have been sitting around here and haven't had a chance to get to as of yet. So let's dive in and see what we find. So Fat Bear Week has been happening again.
Yeah. Love Fat Bear Week.
Alaska's Katmai National Park, or I think it's how you pronounce it. If Nick were here, he would be able to tell me. He's really like way into this. And it started on Monday. They announced on Twitter that Fat Bear Week is, quote, a time where flab is fab is fat and fat is fit. It kicked off on October 5th, and the park on Monday released its official Fat Bear Week bracket, consisting of 12 bears that compete for the top spot.
So this is the pre-hibernation contest. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know what this is.
So yeah, we've talked about it on the air.
We have.
Yeah, I still don't know.
So in this park, they have these bears, and they track them all. They keep an eye on them and see how they're doing. And so they take pictures of them when they are getting ready for hibernation. So they're fattening up and getting ready for the winter. And they're at their biggest of the year. They take pictures of them. They post them. And then you have to rank them as your favorite. And each day they whittle them down and eventually have the fattest bear.
And it's awesome. Especially what happens is they will also provide pictures on the other side of the season where you'll see them after they've sort of burned off a lot of this weight. It's like night and day.
Yeah, when they come out of hibernation.
Yeah. Okay.
So they identified a few of them as 32 Chunk and 128 Grazer. Visitors to the park's website for Fat Bear Week can cast a vote once every day, and skinnier bears will be knocked out of the bracket until the park crowns its champion. On this year's list is there's one called 747, who was the 2020 Fat Bear Champion. According to the park, this bear's impressive poundage is enough to intimidate most bears to yield their space, giving him the best access to fishing locations and mating opportunities. But not to be overlooked is 480 Otis, which is Katmai's 2021 Fat Bear Champion, who was also the biggest bear in 2014, 16, and 17.
Oh, wow.
The Fat Bear Week bracket is narrowed down to two contenders by October 11th. So there's still time. Are they down to the final four now, Marissa?
No, they're just in the first round.
Oh, this is the first
round? Or the second round, I'm sorry.
Okay. Let's see. Meanwhile, those who just want to observe the bears of the park can do so via the Brooks Falls Bear Cam, which is a solar power camera network that shows the bears eating salmon and hanging out in the shallows as well.
We were talking about this yesterday, Preston, and I said I saw a picture of a, Kodiak bear and a full adult man standing next to it.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, mother of God. You forget how effing huge those things are.
Yeah, they're gigantic. And these guys get huge this time of year. So if you want to vote for it, you can look up Katmai National Park. And they have the Fat Bear Week.
I love this.
Happening now.
We should do like a fat rat contest for Philadelphia. You know? Who's going to be the fattest rat?
I love it. All right, another story. Let's see what we can find here. Billboard magazine has come out with its top 100 karaoke songs of all time.
Oh, wow.
So they are celebrating the return of karaoke. I guess there's been maybe a bit of a resurgence as of this lately.
Well, in your car it is now, Preston.
Yes, of course.
We've learned that.
So I have the rundown. I have the top 20, if you guys would like to hear, or maybe top 10.
Let me see if I
I have one.
You want to? Can you guess?
Have you guys seen the list?
I have not.
Okay, what would you put on there personally? I'll tell you if it makes it in the top 29, because they have the top 100. Yeah, what?
What do you think?
Well, no, I mean, like, I know what my personal...
Is it?
Well, what I think number one would be is I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor.
Anybody else?
I think Sweet Caroline is
that's a good one.
Is What's Going On there?
Well, let's guess first. All right, Kathy, do you want to take a guess?
Respect.
That's a good one.
I thought Sweet Caroline as well, Steve.
Yeah.
It's not even in the top 20.
Yeah.
Casey, Gloria Gaynor, I Will Survive is number 3.
Okay.
Oh, nice. So you got by far the closest.
You win the showcase.
Marissa, I don't see what's going on.
Get out of here.
You got to be... Well, I guess, listen, because I was going to say, you got to be pretty ballsy to pull that song out and do some Marvin Gaye, but...
Oh, no. I'm sorry. When she wakes in the morning.
Oh, yeah. What's up?
What's up?
From Four Non Blondes.
Yes.
That one's on there, and that's number 19.
I was wondering what's going on. What's going on? Wow, you've got to be good.
Yeah. And that's pretty heavy, too.
That's a heavy lyrically. Song about racial strife.
Yes.
Wow, that doesn't seem like a karaoke song.
Kathy, Respect is number 16 on the list. So you guys did well. But Steve, I was with you. I thought Sweet Caroline would absolutely be in there, but it is not.
What about Brick by Ben Folds 5?
It's a good one.
Yeah.
It's about an abortion.
Taking your girlfriend for an abortion.
Yeah.
That's
good.
Come on, everybody.
Yeah. Hey!
She's a brick and I'm drowning slowly.
That's a good song. How about We've Got Tonight?
All right, so number one, I think you guys will be surprised.
Oh, it sounds it, yeah.
To hear. Number one is, Casey, have this ready to go.
Oh, I do.
If you would, please.
I do.
Hit it, fellas.
Let's go, girl.
That's Kathy's.
That is the number one karaoke song, according to Billboard. Now, I don't
feel like
know,
a woman.
I don't know what their...
how they got
metrics were to try and figure out why it's number one, but they did.
It was run by the Twain Institute.
They did rank them as to why they're great songs, as far as you know, its sing along abilities and anthemic nature and stuff like that.
Maybe that'll get the crowd. Like, you know what I mean?
Sure.
You go up to karaoke, you're hoping that other people join in.
I wonder what part of the country has the most karaoke bars.
That's a good question.
You know, there are more down south.
I wonder if TikTok has any sway over this, because this song is trending high on TikTok.
Is it?
Well, it may be trending because of this list came out on Tuesday.
Oh, okay.
So I'll bet you that's why it is. But number two on the list is I Want It That Way by Backstreet Boys.
Okay.
You can totally see that.
Then maybe you could do What's Going On.
Number three is I Will Survive from Gloria Gaynor. Number four, now here you go, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
From Queen. Yep.
Even though that... What is the karaoke version of that like? Are you called upon to do the opera?
I can't imagine.
Pretty taxing.
I would imagine that plays plays as well.
Right,
and
yeah.
And everybody
yeah.
sings along. So I don't know, man. That's a good question.
When I say...
It's a good song.
I want it that way. But we...
I don't know the words. Come on, Kath.
Good
diver. Oh, that wasn't me. That was Marissa.
Number five, and I wish Nick was here, because Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper.
Yes!
Shallow.
Oh, my God. Seriously?
Which Nick thought was Shiloh, as in the Battle of Shiloh, the Civil War.
And also a good song, but that's going to kill the mood in a bar.
I know, but it's a duet. So if you get...
Two people.
You got to think about duets, because sometimes that does happen.
People like to do that.
By the way, wasn't that the name of that movie, that karaoke movie, Duet?
Yes, with Huey Lewis was in it.
I actually like that movie.
It is a good movie.
Gwyneth Paltrow and Paul Giamatti and Andre Brower.
Yeah.
And it's a loose, stupid concept.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I liked that
It works.
Movie. Yeah. All right. Then
the
you
Kids
have...
in the Hall did a great skit about karaoke night.
Okay.
And about the, you know, about, that's my song.
Listen, I worked karaoke night at McGillin's Old Ale House for, I feel like it was at least a year. First of all, DJ Joe C had the best karaoke catalog of like any karaoke night I had ever. I mean, he had thousands and thousands of songs. He had like, you know, and so he had a really great catalog.
Right.
But people went there who like they thought they were a superstars.
Right.
You know?
It is kind of wild to watch that. There was a great documentary about when it was really hitting, when it was at the top of its popularity and the people
right.
who it really became everything to them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So number six on this list is Alanis Morissette, You Ought to Know. So, especially
Kathy, sing it.
I'm happy for you.
Come on, guys.
The best for you both. An older version of me. She preferred it like me. And she'd go down on you in a theater.
Remember when they bleeped that?
Yes,
yeah.
Go down on you. Yeah. That part, yeah. But, I mean, it's got a great chorus. And so you can see everybody getting into it. All right, number seven is Nicki Minaj, Super Bass.
I don't even know that one.
She's a super bass, She's super bassy.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's super bass. Maybe it's about fishing.
Oh, okay. Super fish, yeah. Super fish, she's super fishing.
Number eight, here you go, is an ultimate sing-along song, Friends in Low Places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Friends
Garth Brooks.
In Low Places.
Any country bar, especially that's got a karaoke setup, you know that one's going to be whipped.
I kind of hate this sort of song structure.
This is a guilty pleasure. Yeah. I like this song.
This is about an abortion too, right?
I hope somebody from XTU was walking down the hall.
You know the hidden verse, too?
No.
Oh, that's the classic for karaoke when you whip out the hidden verse.
Well,
what
is
it? I don't remember it.
You bring it up and you don't know what it is.
Tease us like that.
You know how to solve the puzzle, don't you? No.
Every Lower Merion firefighter out there right now is yelling at me for forgetting it.
Number nine is Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yes.
Which,
Total Eclipse of the
Heart.
Yeah.
Turn around bright eyes.
Number 10 is Brandy and Monica, The Boy Is Mine.
I remember that.
The Boy Is Mine.
I don't know it.
Do you guys know it?
No.
I do. Yeah, that was back, but...
1998, it says.
Yeah. I don't know why that would be top of the... Okay.
All right.
Well, this doesn't make sense.
Again, if it's a duet. So number 11 is a duet. Elton John and Kiki D, Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
Don't Go Breaking My Heart.
That's a pretty classic, you know, man and woman back and forth song. So yeah. I could see that. Number 12 is Kelly Clarkson's
Since You've Been Gone.
Yeah.
I can't breathe for the first time.
I guarantee you.
Yeah.
You'll hear more voices cracking during that one, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of voices cracking, Stephen, we were in Ireland the first time we did our show live from there. We were in a bar, and they had a karaoke set up, and a guy started to sing, I think it was a one from U2.
Uh-huh.
And so it starts off in a lower register, but at some point Bono starts going for it, and this guy... had to switch.
Uh-huh.
He had to drop an octave. And I felt bad for the guy because you could tell he had never sung a karaoke before. And he was doing pretty good until it hit that higher part.
You're like, oh, man.
Oh, no, I didn't
know.
I've
been on way more than I could do.
Jesus, no.
All right, this is Rochelle's jam.
Okay.
This is the one. And anytime if we're in a car and it comes on the radio.
Wait, I know what it is.
There's two songs.
Go ahead.
That she will not only sing, but she will sing to you.
Uh-huh.
And they're just total women anthems.
Oh.
So I'll give it to you.
Wait.
Okay, what?
No, all right, go ahead. I can't think of the name of the song.
Well, you know he likes the bitch one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So good, that one?
No. Okay, that's another one.
Yeah, she likes that one.
What is this?
Crazy. Crazy Bitch.
Crazy Bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
She loves that one. But also, Carrie Underwood, Before He Cheats.
Here you go.
Yeah.
I know all the lyrics. lyrics because I've heard it.
And will she look at you? Is she singing it?
Oh, yeah. Like,
maybe next time you think before he cheats. Yeah.
There you go. 11. I'm going to get it. Can we just talk about how wrong that is?
Oh, I know. Yeah.
And everybody's like, yeah.
Yeah.
Thousands of dollars.
Kill him.
She has destroyed his car, which the guy probably uses for his living. I don't know. Yeah. His pretty little souped up four wheel drive.
I sold that a long time ago.
Oh, Jesus.
Why'd he cheat on her? He deserved it.
Oh, sure.
And so she breaks the law. Yeah. He may have broken a moral issue, but he didn't break the law.
So I killed your mother. And I shot your dog.
That's why I stick to my
list. She doesn't stop. That's the hidden verse, by the way, Marissa. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the secret verse.
And when she goes in the water supply.
She goes to the house, kills his mother and dog, and goes on a three-state murder spree.
I drove a bulldozer through your house.
All right, number 14 on the top 100. We're not doing all 100. We're going to do 20.
Don't do all 100.
Number 14 is Cyndi Lauper, Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Yeah, that's an obvious.
Another good anthem. Number 15 is Celine Dion, It's All Coming Back to Me Now.
Okay.
All do you know that song?
Back. It's all coming back to me now.
No,
you're saying that.
Hold on a second. I want to point something out. You are so, like, the rest of us when we're singing, we're like, lean into the microphone. Yeah. You start pushing the mic.
Because I'm a terrible singer, and I am trying not to get this isolated.
It's all coming back to me now. That's how it goes.
Okay.
I don't know what you're saying.
Oh, whatever.
All right, it's coming back.
Number 16 on the list is R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Yes.
Find out what it means to me. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. Take care, T-C-B. Suck it to me, suck it to me, suck it to me, suck it to me.
So, Kathy, you got that one, but that's further down on the list. I would have agreed with you. I would have thought that was top
five. Bumped it up a little more,
Number 17 is Living on a Prayer from Bon Jovi.
I was going to say there's got to be a Bon Jovi song on there.
Always get the crowd going with that one. No problem.
It's all right. It's all right.
Oh,
all
you, right. You can't go home. Who says you can't go home?
I think that.
I love that song.
I like that one.
But Living on a Prayer with, we're halfway there.
Living on a Prayer.
But you need everybody to sing along with you on that one.
Because that goes way up high.
Otherwise, you're like, oh!
I thought you guys were going to sing along with me.
What happened?
I blew out a nut.
Number 18 is a song that was beat to death when it came out, but is still a top karaoke song. And it's Call Me Maybe from Carly Rae Jepsen.
You could not escape that song.
Yeah. And that was at the start of, like, you know, viral video haven in 2011. And everybody was doing videos and things to that. So number 19 is Marissa's What's Up, 4-9 Blondes. That's another one. If you dare to try it on your own, make sure that you can hit those notes.
Uh-huh. Is Walk Like an Egyptian on the list?
Not in the top 20.
Okay,
the last one is Love Shack from B-52.
Yes.
That's an easy one, to get going. So, I thought that was kind of a fun little thing to kick around. So Billboard has announced their top 100 karaoke songs. And you don't even need to be able to sing to do the Fred Schneider part.
Fred Schneider saved anyone who can't sing.
Yeah.
You're right.
Press, your wife said illegal or not, don't piss her off. I'm with you, Shell.
I know. So anyway, Shania Twain holds the top spot, and that is Man, I Feel Like a Woman.
Who knew?
I didn't think that would be it. All right. Let's see. We're in the junk drawer, right?
Yes.
I got time for a little bit more.
A little more junk. Yeah.
And then we're going to have to move on because I got to be filed. Ah, here we go. Got one.
Oh, yeah.
A recent study has revealed that a staggering 7.4 million people could be pleasuring themselves during the work hours.
Okay. Yeah.
What?
I just did.
This is in the United Kingdom, by the way. In a survey of 2,000 people.
Yeah, that was an extraordinarily good dog. back to the accounting.
They discovered that 14% have pleasured themselves during work. They also found that men are three more times likely to take advantage of the time spent.
In fact, I would have thought it would have been 10 times as likely
working from home.
All right, so this is something I was talking to our sales manager.
Don't come in, I'm busy.
Not about this, but just about the general idea of like, okay, how many people do you think are having in the world are having sex right now? And really, it all comes it's about 1.7 million are actually having sex right now at this moment.
That's crazy.
And because it all comes down to mathematics. So this little, I don't know if that's a study or whatever, but if you were to just do the simple math of it all, and you start with the number of people in this world,
right,
and then the number of, you know, how many times people do it a day versus how many times, and then you can...
Well, that's how they arrive at this,
yeah. And that's how you can whittle that down. So you could, so you can say, all right, how many people do you think are actually having sex right now?
Well, there's also, you have to take it, I think there are subsections to this.
Mm-hmm.
Are you, for example, are we talking an office setting? Are we talking if you...
This says just during work hours.
Right,
it
right.
doesn't say necessarily at work. So you might zip out for lunch real quick and rub one out. I don't know. furthermore, a third of higher earners with a salary, and this is in pounds, because it was a British study, 35,000 to 45,000 pounds are more likely to pleasure themselves. A further 27% of 25 to 34-year-olds also confessed to doing it, followed by 18% of 35 to 44-year-olds.
We'll talk about that new proposal when I get back from my tugging break.
The overarching reason for doing so was that it helped people relieve stress during the working day. And it's apparently a concept that a Barcelona company swears by. Adult entertainment company Erica Lust Films has introduced a unique form of timeout in the
Ever heard of jerkmate?
In the form of spank breaks.
So wouldn't it be wild if now you walk in the building and there's a bunch of people pleasuring themselves by the front exit?
Yeah, instead of smoking.
Yeah.
thought it was awkward when you went to the bathroom and someone was... Now you got to deal with this.
Right. I can't stand walking out. I can't say the word, but
So the 30-minute breaks aim to normalize the activity and achieve less aggression and more productivity in the workplace.
And there's like 50 people outside jerking it.
To the CEO.
Imagine if Bill came into a meeting and was like, listen, guys, I really want you to take a spank break.
The CEO explained that the company have a rota. And while it's obviously not mandatory to embrace the benefit, each member of staff schedules their self-love breaks to avoid overlapping.
Anybody want to join me for a jerk?
They simply book their 30-minute slot around meeting hours and enjoy from the comfort of their homes. But that's for working at home. But the office has its own dedicated space.
It's so dumb.
In the form of a small, intimate chapel, complete with a bed, mirror, erotic paintings.
Get the hell out of here.
I wouldn't go. And warm ambient lighting to help get in the mood.
I wouldn't go anywhere near that room.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. Like, are you more inclined to do that if now you have a designated time to do it?
No.
Or are you just going to do it when you do like, listen.
When the mood hits you.
Casey, it's like the lunch break. Like, not everybody actually eats lunch on their lunch break.
Right. So when people go out, take a nap in the you can do whatever you want for your lunch break, right? You get your half hour, your hour. Do it. Some people might actually, do that on their lunch break.
I'm sorry. What was? Oh, they might.
Yeah, they might actually do that on their lunch. Is it?
When I found out Red Robin was coming in today, I ran down to the bathroom.
So a couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine, I'm not going to say where she works, but a friend of mine sent me a picture. And I guess there's a bathroom that mainly the guys use at work. She works in like a male dominated industry.
Right,
she's one of the only females there. And she doesn't use this specific bathroom.
Right.
And so she sent me a picture of it. I'll have to hand it over to you. But above the toilet is the collage that we did.
Oh, my God.
No, it's our calendar.
Our calendar.
It's our calendar.
That's funny.
Oh, my goodness. I was like, so everybody's spanking it when they go to the bathroom at work?
And they're checking the dates. It is a 2020 calendar.
2021.
The Trocadero, when that was around, in the men's bathroom, it was so great. At the urinals, they had peepholes.
Yes, they did.
And you would look into this little hole, and then there was a little picture of a naked woman in there. It was great. Yeah. You don't remember that?
Yes.
It was a throwback thing.
I loved
it. I thought it was funny.
That place was so awesome in that they embraced their
dilapidatedness, yeah. You know.
Well, and I think it used to be a burlesque theater, so I think that was a little throwback to that, but I thought that was pretty funny.
I love that. So where was the weirdest job location? Have you ever done it?
In the car while driving.
Yes.
Likewise.
Yeah. On the way to a stand-up
taking like
game.
An hours-long drive, and I'm like, speaking of no one's looking. And listen, I'll freely admit it. I had it way long time ago. I did it at work.
Where?
Here? No, not here.
No.
Long time ago.
Bill's office.
Because I worked overnights. I worked every shift on the clock. And overnights.
You're the only one in the building?
You're the only one there. And what the hell, you know? It happened a couple times.
You know, what's going on is playing on the.
And so how about you? Strangest place.
In the car, and then in an inventory room.
Okay.
Yeah.
Casey?
At let's just say, pop your catalog company.
Casey?
Kathy's bathroom, probably.
When you stopped over one time. Oh, my God.
In her kitchen seat.
Hey, happened on my couch.
Your couch.
In my
right.
living room.
That's right.
Well, you don't really
I don't
one.
Do that. Okay. I've never done that my entire life.
Oh, shut up.
You could go blind.
Did you just get a text and your mom is listening right now?
You're my favorite little boy. You'll always be my little angel. Because you don't do disgusting things like those other boys you work with.
Those other boys.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, your moms aren't here to listen.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And your daughters aren't in the car listening as well.
Listen, I wouldn't care.
Wow, Daddy does it all.
Yeah. All right. Listen, I'm looking at the clock. We got to get to Yoo-Hoo Loot. So we got to wrap up the junk drawer for the day. But we certainly appreciate you being a part of it this morning. When we come back, the Bizarre File. And, yes, your first opportunity for $1,000 with MMR's Yoo-Hoo Loot. We also have guests who are going to be joining us, including Beverly D'Angelo.
Love that.
She will be on the show. Wrestler Bailey will be here. And comedian Michael Palisak will be joining us, too. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Did you know you could listen to all of WMMR's podcasts as well as our live stream on your Alexa-enabled device? It's easy. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're going to play our Friday song before we get to the B-File, but while we're doing that and you're listening to that wonderful song from Froggy, you can call in, and if you're caller number 12, I'll give you a $50 Red Robin gift card.
Red Robin?
Yum! 215-263-WMMR. By the way, listen to this. Listen to what they brought by here today. The new Red Robin pretzel bacon beer cheese burger.
Oh, I should try that.
You mean another one?
Oh, yeah.
Fire grilled beef burger topped with cheddar cheese, hardwood smoked bacon and mayo on a toasted pretzel bun, served with New Belgian fat tire beer cheese fondue for dipping and bottomless steak fries. That's ridiculous. Oh, my God.
Now, everyone talks about Jonas Salk.
Right. Yeah.
Whoever invented these, that's the real hero.
All right. So caller number 12 will set you up with that $50 gift certificate from Red Robin, 215-263-WMMR. It's Friday, people. Here we go.
WMMR presents Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, it's brought to you by Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, focused on being the best at one thing and getting it right every time. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, now open in Fairless Hills in the court at Oxford Valley. One love. We will start with this story. Okay. A British man issued a plea to his community to please, for the sake of decency and art, stop humping his shrub.
What?
Keith Tyson has been maintaining the shrub named Gloria since 2010. And once you see her, you'll understand why he's having problems keeping drunken louts off of his property.
This is Gloria.
It's a topiary, and it's in the shape of a woman lying back, okay?
But what do you expect?
And so...
I mean, come on.
The not infrequent encounters with random strangers is problematic for multiple reasons. On one hand, the noise made by fornicating with his hedge wakes the elderly man up in the middle of the night.
You're going to be my regular Saturday night thing, baby.
Oh, yeah.
But even worse...
Oh, yes, you're going to be my regular Saturday night thing.
Is the havoc that it wreaks on Gloria's figures. Keith Tyson says, someone will squeeze the breasts, so that will damage it. He said, she's been manipulated in the night by some drunken lout, and I thought she looked rather disparaging, so I took this plastic white string of beads and I put it around her neck to boost her morale.
So he gave her pearls.
He did give her pearls.
Made her even sexier.
But people are still banging his shrub, so he's asking you to please stop doing
are
that.
Are any of the other plants having their way with her?
Just no?
No,
just Gloria. Human,
so. Yeah.
When a man's body bag was unzipped the day after it had arrived at a morgue, staff were greeted by an unsettling, strange sight. There was fresh blood on the man's hospital gown from a skin tear on his arm, and two of his limbs had moved from their original position. Oh, and yes, his eyes were open.
Oh, my God!
The state coroner's office in Perth, Australia, is now investigating alarming claims from a doctor that the 55-year-old man may have been taken to the hospital morgue while he was still alive. The horror story continues.
What a nightmare for people. You know, that claustrophobic.
Oh, yeah.
That's right out of Edgar Allan Poe.
This concerns the final hours of Kevin Reed, a patient who was in palliative care at the Rockingham Hospital. It came to light after the concerned physician also claimed that hospital officials asked him to backdate Reed's death certificate in an apparent bid to cover up the incident. An anonymous doctor's report said, I believe the frank blood from a new skin tear, arm position, and eye signs were inconsistent with the person who was post-mortem on arrival at the morgue. It's alleged that he was placed in the body bag on the night of September 5th without a death certificate having been issued. Other staff at the hospital reportedly confirmed that his eyes had been closed. He had been dressed in a clean gown before being taken to the hospital's morgue, where a doctor performed his examination, recorded the death. The discrepancy was spotted by a funeral director who questioned the hospital as to why the death certificate. Reed died on September 6th, when the night before his family members were present at the hospital and were told that their loved one had died.
God. They also found some finished Sudoku puzzles in there, too.
Oh, no. So he's apparently, the family is looking into some kind of charges.
I mean, how do you make good on that?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. A New York City man has been charged with smuggling 3 Burmese pythons in his pants at a U.S.-Canadian border crossing. Calvin Bautista.
Oh, my God, he's packing.
Calvin Bautista is accused of bringing the hidden snakes on a bus that crossed into northern New York. And importation of Burmese pythons is regulated by an international treaty and by federal regulations listing them as injurious and harm to human beings.
How big is this network of animal smuggling? You have a story every other week.
Yeah. Bautista was arraigned on federal smuggling charges and released pending trial. And there's a maximum sentence of 20 years in prison and a fine as high as $250,000.
Do you think they're getting good enough to smuggle in big cats?
Maybe something.
Yeah. There's a cheetah in your pants.
Here's a follow-up story. A towering 430-foot free-fall ride in Florida, from which a 14-year-old boy plunged to his death in March, is going to be torn down in response to the tragedy.
I remember this story.
Free-fall ride at Orlando's Icon Park had been declared a danger to public health, safety, and welfare, and was shut down shortly after middle schooler Tyree Sampson slipped from the harness as the ride, which takes riders higher than the Statue of Liberty, rapidly descended on March 24th. The ride's operator, Richie Armstrong, said that he and the others remain devastated by Tyree's death. He said, we have listened to the wishes of Tyree's family and the community and have made the decision to take down the free fall. In addition, Orlando Slingshot will honor Tyree and his legacy in the classroom and on the football field by creating a scholarship in his name. Details about the scholarship and the ride's removal date will be shared at a later date. Armstrong said an attorney for Tyree's family did not immediately respond to a request for comment this past
week. The name of that ride, President, was a slide. Like Schlitter something or...
Schlitterbahn? Schlitterbahn, right.
Right. Yeah. And that, like, the first couple of days it was open, the kid launched off of it.
Yep.
And was
And they tore it down. Yeah.
Decapitated.
Right.
Yeah. So this is another snake story, a little bit different than the other one. In the world of boutique snake breeding...
Which is a wonderful world.
Well, apparently it's pretty lucrative.
Really?
A guy named Ben Rennick was a rock star. The unique color combinations and patterns that he produced at Rennick Reptiles in rural New Florence, Missouri, created designer pets that could sell for upwards of $100,000.
Wow. Holy hell.
That's according to his friend and fellow breeder, David Levinson.
I'm going to start painting my cats.
But reptiles can also be dangerous. When on June 8th, Ben's wife, Lynn Lee, called Ben's brother and screamed that she'd found Ben face down at the breeding facility in a pool of blood. Sam Rennick raced over and reached the most logical conclusion. He said, "My brother's skull was crushed." This is in a 911 call. Oof. "In my wildest dreams, I would have never imagined someone would hurt Ben." With Lindley at his side, Sam told 911 it had to have been a snake. But he hadn't been strangled by a reptile. The coroner told Sam on the spot, he's been shot 8 times.
What? Snakes don't have hands.
At least once in the head. Rumored tensions between the brothers over money and possible sale of the family farm at first pointed investigators to Sam, and Lindley didn't dissuade them either. He said the seed was definitely planted early, that he had something to do with it, according to Levinson, whom Lindley quickly asked to maintain and then helped to downsize Ben's 3,000 reptile stock of animals, which included prized ball pythons that could fetch more than $1 million.
Well, there's your reason for that.
But investigators soon turned to another suspect, and that was Lindley herself, his wife. The couple's relationship was troubled. Lindley soon acknowledged an affair, and then a second one with a man who she began seeing just days before Ben's murder. The day prior to the shooting, Lindley had also deleted social media exchanges with Ben that revealed his mistrust in their fights over money, as Lindley had fallen deep into debt from a spa business she opened a year earlier. Meanwhile, another of Lindley's ex-boyfriends, Michael Humphrey, I'm sorry, I got to zip through this, it's a lot, came to the attention of investigators. Lindley would later claim that she had enlisted Humphrey to accompany her to the snake breeding facility where she planned to break up with Ben on the day that he was killed. She had different intentions. Lindley feared that if she and Ben wound up in a divorce, she might lose custody of the child they had together, along with access to Ben's $1 million life insurance policy and proceeds from the sale of his business and property. In court, Lindley testified she didn't know that Humphrey had a gun with him. They both blamed the other one for firing the fatal shots. Jurors found them both guilty. Humphrey was sentenced to life in prison. Lindley was sentenced to 16 years in prison. Pretty interesting
man,
story.
I hope Kim Kardashian does this on her podcast, Preston.
Oh, yeah.
A murder mystery podcast.
Crime podcast. Yeah. All right, and there you go. That's your bizarre file. 1 minute left, roughly, to text over the word GIVE for MMR's Yoohoo Loot. So make sure you do that now. GIVE. You can do it real quick. Just pull out your phone. Make sure you pull over if you're driving. 45911. Text that over. All right. GIVE is the word, because we want to give you that $1,000. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we start some guests in the program. So make sure you stay with us. We'll be gone shortly.
Who serves up the best burger in Philly? Taste for yourself. Philly Burger Brawl is back.
Round one, fight.
So get off your buns and come sample the region's meat you can't beat. From traditional to gourmet to...
Whoa, what's on that?
Come stuff your grill with unlimited burger bites. Sunday, October 23rd. Outdoors at Xfinity Live with cold beer and live music. Benefiting Philly Parks and Rec's at-risk teen initiative. And Philly School District's after-school programming. Ticket info's up at WMMR.com. Don't miss Philly Burger Brawl 2022 at Xfinity Live.
I do love the taste of a good burger. Mm.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your taste buds.
Our next guest is in our studio for the first time.
Yes.
Always great to meet some new people. So we are happy to mention that he's going to be at Punchline tonight and tomorrow. We welcome Michael Palasek.
Yeah.
today.
Thank you.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic.
Hey, congratulations. You just had Red Robin for the first time.
It is my very first time. That's the main reason I'm here.
It's kind of a burger. A stand-up comedian usually, you know, accrues a lot of fast food knowledge just by the travel. I'm surprised you have not had Red Robin yet.
Well, not to be a commercial for Red Robin, but I feel like they're a little bit above a fast food.
there you go.
Like, when I'm, like, out late at night after a show, like, they've already closed up shop. They're like, we're a dignified institution.
Exactly.
We're done at 9, maybe 10.
I probably need a tie for this.
This is gourmet burgers.
Yeah, really good
stuff. Speaking of, as Stephen mentioned, you look like you're in good shape.
Thank you.
But living that lifestyle on the road, that's got to be kind of tough to keep that going, I would imagine.
Yeah, I rely on the power of positive thinking.
Yeah. Okay. That's what it is, yeah.
I mean, I'm a dad, so when I'm home, I don't... The only exercise is, like, chasing down my kid and being like, whoa, or whatever. And then some on the road, I try to go to the gym or whatever.
Right. You do the hotel gym or?
Yeah, I guess you can't really call it. It's a hotel gym.
If you belong to, like, a Planet Fitness or something, you can go wherever.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
But the hotel gym is like, all right, what am I going to get?
Yeah.
It's
Elastic strap and a kettlebell.
Yeah. They got, like, one dumbbell, like, 25 pounds. You're like, how do I do? Okay, I guess it's all right. To do one at a time.
You're the only one in there, so
you're right.
I love the hotel gym. I forget what brand it was, but like in the hotel gym, there was like. Like a normal gym, like motivational, huge letters. Like, if you can dream it, you can be. I'm like, we're all staying at a Fairfield. So I just woke up this early for breakfast. I don't want.
That's a little over aggressive there. It's something more appropriate to a Weider gym, right?
Yeah. Michael, I'm not coming on to you right now, but you look like John Hamm.
Oh, thank
anybody
you.
Ever I'll tell you that?
I have heard that before.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I see a little bit.
Yeah,
of
it.
You're
a little Hamish. Yeah. That's okay. No, it's a very complimentary.
I see what I did, and during research on you, I heard or at least I saw it pop up a number of times that people say you have a sitcom face, so have you indeed ever been approached with because obviously that's a pool that producers and
for sure
they like to pull from. Have you ever been approached for a sitcom?
Yeah, you know, when I first moved to LA, it was mainly for that type of stuff,
for that reason?
Like auditions and meetings and stuff like that. And you know, I've really liked doing stand up, so I just sort of do that. And then if something ever pops up that makes sense, I'll do it. But
you know, what would dissuade you from wanting to do sitcoms? Is have you you watched this series on Vice, The Dark Side of Comedy?
No, that sounds awesome, though.
Like Greg Giraldo, they just had it. Just great. And some stories obviously end in tragedy, and some are it shows rough spots.
Yeah,
but it seems as I'm watching this thing, I'm like, I used to think getting a sitcom was the greatest
for
thing
sure.
in the world.
Yeah.
And these things, it always goes south when they get those.
Man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's such a unique way, like it's a play, but it's TV and so much money and everything goes into it. And then you shoot it and sometimes kids are in it and then they have to grow up and not be working anymore. And it's just like a weird institution.
But it's stand up. And I was watching one with Brett Butler.
Yeah. I remember her.
Right. Yeah. Grace Under Fire.
Grace Under Fire. Yeah.
And so she's talking about, she goes, I went from I create everything to now there's 250 people having a say. And it's essentially my material.
Yeah.
And they're telling me I'm not doing it right.
You know, people, I've heard that before, too many cooks in the kitchen thing, but me personally, I could use the help. I think that would be...
Well, you got a kid.
Yeah, I mean, I got a kid. And also, if, like, you're the guy, on some level, you get to say yes or no. So if, like, people want to tell me what to do, I'm like, well, we'll make that work. You put me on TV every week.
How much money do you have? Well, your wife does stand-up as well, yeah?
She we're not married, but it's okay. We're not together, but it's all right.
Oh, you're not?
Yeah, I know. Oh. We were one of those where, like...
It was Red Robin that did it, right?
Yeah, we both survived the pandemic, but our relationship had pre-existing conditions.
Oh, man. Is it one of those cases you realized it was not in the cards during the that close proximity?
Yeah, I think it was one of those things where I was home.
Yeah. That was the issue. That was
one of those things.
This is a comic you leave every week for a couple of days, and I think people need that break from you. No, I don't know. We live it's like a 6-minute walk from each other, and it's great. And like my son was really young, and I know people get, you know, sad or whatever, but I feel like I grew up with two parents who gave me a lot of attention, and never at one point was I like, I need both of you here, you know? If anything, I was like, can I get rid of one of you? Like,
Preston says that. Preston says about his parents. He goes, the greatest day was them.
Oh, when they split up, they needed to so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I've heard that, too.
Yeah. So, you're amicable? Everything's cool?
I'm amicable. Oh, I'm extremely amicable.
Okay.
You're halfway there.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Like, I think it's funny that that they call it co-parent. Like, we went to some therapy, and they're like, yeah, call it. Which, co-parent just sounds like such a technical term. Like, I feel like that term was just discovered by a guy who was, like, telling his lawyer all the terms he wanted to call her, and he was like, we're going to land on co-parent.
Use the C word.
I have friends that try to have the kids stay in the house, and the parents would rotate in.
Yeah. I've heard that. Yeah.
It lasted for, like, 2 months.
Okay.
And then I think it just got weird.
Yeah. Well, she's been evicted, so we went to the
Really?
Yeah.
It got bad then.
Well, like, no one knows her here. But, like, she didn't work for, like, 6 years. And she's pretty capable. Then when we broke up, she had just gotten a job, which worked out great. But then she lost her job and just kept not working. But she's an actor and comedian, so it's, things come in sometimes.
The bygones.
Exactly. But we just have different opinions on how you handle bills. And
like, you're like, oh, we should pay them.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she was like, no, you don't have to. And so we're gonna see who's right in the next year.
My money's on you.
We used to joke in my family because we used to say that my mom thought that bills were optional.
Yeah.
And that, like, you just pay it some months if you want. My dad was like, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never talk about this stuff on stage. So
cathartic.
How about adapting to fatherhood?
I love it. That's like, I'm a little older than her, and I always wanted to be a dad, and it wasn't something that, like, we were planning on, but it's the best thing in my life that's ever happened.
That's wild. That's cool.
How old's your son?
He's 3.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so fairly new.
Fairly new.
Okay,
yeah. And during the pandemic, I was, I was on the road. Like, I left 2 weeks after he was born for 3 days, but during the pandemic, I got to be home every day, and I woke up with him every morning, and we just, I just loved it. It was the best.
It's funny how that dynamic, because the father, son pandemic, pandemic,
yeah.
Father-son dynamic is so essential, and it always creates a lot of issues.
Yeah.
But, like, so we're 3 brothers in my house, and my father was around the most for my younger brother.
Yeah.
And so there was a completely different dynamic because he was invested.
Yeah.
So, I think it's important. Now, we're all great now, but that's it's a weird thing. So to be able to be there at that point is very cool.
Well, and for me, too, it was nice just to have a fan in the house, like
someone who liked you.
Somebody who lit up when you came
home.
Exactly. That goes away, by the way. Dude, I swear to God, every time I came home, it would be like, Daddy!
Yeah.
And they would all run to the door.
I know.
And now I don't even get it. What's up?
I know.
Now the dogs are like, Daddy!
Savor it. That's why you got dogs.
Yeah. That's totally right.
But you probably get to watch whatever you want on TV now. Like, they're probably not home. Like, I've seen parts of Toy Story 100 different times.
Yeah.
In the past
month. Yeah, there's give and take.
And I like, it's a good movie, but if you watch Toy Story 3, because he'll fast forward it from, like, the beginning to then, that's a very emotional movie for an adult to watch a kid grow up. And I'm just like, and he's just enjoying it. I'm like, you don't understand.
Yeah.
What you're putting me through. Pixar is not just a jolly, let's watch 10 minutes of it separated.
Yeah.
It's the first 5 and the last 5.
Does he have facial hair yet? Because you look like you could have grown a mustache at 3 years old.
I know. He does not have facial hair yet. She is got, like, reddish hair, and her family is not facial hairy.
Okay.
But sort of Celtic. I am. I got, like, I don't know what you call it. It's, like, my mom's side is Irish, and it's, like, the black hair Irish or whatever.
Okay, you've got,
like,
the Ben Affleck.
Colin
Ben Affleck.
Farrell.
Colin Farrell.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was growing in when I was a young kid.
How were you when, like, middle school? You grew your
I had a mustache, and it was funny. My dad, I think he had problems with us growing up. Like, he didn't want to think that. So he didn't acknowledge the fact that I needed to shave because it was just like this right here.
Right, yeah.
And then when he finally did, he wasn't even good at it. He would just do like this, but he didn't want to get close enough to my nose. So I had a little tiny, like, Hitler.
Oh, no.
It was very faint, but it was like, I could tell. I'm like, just go all the way, or let me do it. Like, I can do it.
Did you go to Catholic school by any chance?
I did, yeah.
Okay, because my friend's son was the same way, and he has to shave every single day. In high school, he had to.
Yeah.
And he would get demerits.
Yeah.
By the end of the day, because his beard grew in. I mean, he was really.
Oh, that's
really
not fair.
It's not fair. Yeah. And I think they eventually came to a to an
agreement. Jesus had facial hair.
Absolutely,
it looks like.
He had a full beard.
He wasn't bicking it.
I got to trim this. I want to look like I want a Miami Vice look. Yeah, no, that seems you know, very wrong to have a kid shaving twice a day to keep in the in the good graces of
but,
the nuns.
I mean, when it comes to the Catholic schools, they're right about everything else. So why worry?
Did you ever get in trouble in Catholic school?
So to be clear, well, I grew up in a really small town, and so it was only up till fifth grade.
Okay.
And it was the small school in our town, and it was like...
Was this Wabash?
Wabash, yeah. And they were all small schools, but it was like, I remember when we moved to that town, everything just clicked, and it was like a very happy school. Like, the teachers weren't even all Catholic. They were just, like, happy to be teaching there and not making as much money, but they were really happy about it. And it was a very fun experience. It wasn't the traditional, like, nuns. There weren't any nuns.
Okay. In a couple of years, you're going to have to start doing teachers' meetings and all that stuff that comes along.
We're already talking about preschools, and it's just like, what? Who am I?
I know. I know. I've been there, man.
So when you were in Wabash, and then you went, did you move to Chicago? Was that... For the purpose of entering comedy, or
I think I manifested it by accident because no one wanted to move, but my dad lost a job when I was a junior in high school,
right?
And so he looked for stuff in that area because we loved our small town. But he ended up getting a job in Joliet, Illinois, and just driving back and forth for 2 years so I could finish high school. And then we all moved up there, and I remember everyone was pretty sad, but I always knew I wanted to do stand up. And in my head, I was like, "This is in Wabash." There's very few open mics.
Right, yeah.
Maybe you could do a Wendy's set or something. But like,
I was just reading an article this morning of the creepiest places in all 50 states. And so in Pennsylvania, it would be Centralia. But in Illinois, it was Joliet Prison.
Yeah.
That's where...
Because it's abandoned now or something.
Oh, is it? Yeah, I don't know. So. Yeah, that's he doesn't work there.
Is that Shawshank was?
Was that Shawshank?
No. Shawshank wasn't filmed there. That was in Maine. But but I think one of the in the Blues Brothers they mentioned.
They were in Joliet Prison. They were like waiting when they get out. They got out of Joliet. Right. I thought it was still open because I knew a guy that worked there at some point. But, but that was like, you know, when I was in college.
Right.
Yeah, we were in Chicago. Was it? It was this year.
About a year ago.
Yeah, about a year ago. And we've been inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame, so we went there for
despite what you're seeing here.
No, yes. I can see that.
And I forgot how much I love that city.
It's so great.
Oh, my God.
And it was so great to start out as a comedian there because, my parents lived in the suburbs, so I would drive into town. And this is before, like, GPS, so I'd print out Google Maps. And, like, I learned throughout MapQuest. I learned, like, the grid. I just knew how to get everywhere. And, like, being a stand-up comedian when you're starting out is really cool because you have a reason to go all these cool places, and there was, like, music late at night. And
yeah.
And, like, you develop a community, and it was a really cool experience.
Yeah, and then there's such a pedigree in Chicago, city and all that stuff.
And when I was there, improv and sketch was so huge that stand-up was kind of like we had the room to grow, you know? And, like, people in my class that sort of blew up were, like, Hannibal Buress and, like, Kumail Nanjiani and, like, T.J. Miller. And, like, these guys, we were all just sort of doing it because we wanted to do it and not getting any attention from the industry. And then all of a sudden, we would move away and do great.
It's like the history of improvisational comedy out of Chicago is legendary.
Yeah. Oh,
and I always say this to people. I did stand up briefly, but if you learn improv.
Yeah.
That's the greatest tool to have in your tool bag.
I definitely liked it because I was able to do, like, the improv classes and then go to open mics at night, and I think it definitely helped me out.
Well, yeah, and I think it also helps you out with dealing with hecklers and people shouting out from the crowd and stuff like that. I recently watched, like, Sam Morril had a special that came out, and then he's been...
special come out?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Just one? Or, like, five in the last year?
He had one recently, but then also he just posted something on his Instagram. Yeah. His chick just screaming out from the crowd, and he was handling her perfectly.
Yeah.
And Mark Norman, like, you know, he does a lot of great crowd work.
Yeah.
So what is the difference, do you think, between crowd work and heckling? Because you can turn heckling into crowd work.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like crowd work is when, I don't know if you've ever seen Ian Bagg, like, he's really good at it.
Yeah.
He'll go into the crowd and ask a question that's leading into a bit. But he'll like play with them as long as that works. And I think that's crowd work. When it's a part of your set, you're in control.
You've invited it.
Yeah. Uh huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he likes it. And heckling, I think, is when someone's probably a little drunk and entitled. That's just a judgment. And and they're talking, and then it's just like, well, I'm going to talk to you now because you're going to say funny things because you're so ridiculous that you think in this crowd, when no one's talking to you, people care what you think.
Yeah.
And that's the perfect person to talk to because they're going to say stuff that's just stupid.
You're exactly right. And yet it's a fine line,
mm-hmm.
so that you know. And I've seen it happen where the comedian and I've had it happen to me where you're going and the crowd's on your side, but then you go in the wrong direction and you lose them. And now you've given the heckler the power.
Yeah, I've always found, and I stood by it, when someone's at least like talking during your set or maybe heckling a little bit, I let it go until everyone in the crowd knows.
Has become yes.
And it might even be near the end of my set, because then you get an applause break, you'll get whatever, because you called it out and everyone's been mad at them for the last half hour. But you're right, if someone's talking up front and no one else hears it, and you like lay into this guy because of his haircut, and it's like, well, you're the jerk. Like, he's going through chemo. Like, what are you doing?
Radiation therapy.
Yeah.
That's why there was a I don't know if this is true. It's attributed to Norm MacDonald talking about you.
Oh yeah,
you reminded him of a guy that's just as funny off stage as on, which is like magic. Were you a big Norm fan?
You know, when I was in high school, he hosted the ESPYs.
Yes.
That was the first time I had seen a stand-up comedian.
I don't even care about the ESPYs, but watching him host them, is great.
Yeah. He is so funny, and so that was the first time I had really seen stand-up as, like, a non-child, you know?
Yeah.
So that he was a very big inspiration. And then he judged Last Comic when I was on the show, so that, like, I didn't write for a show, but I submitted, and I got to meet him through that. So we've kind of had, like, our paths crossed, and it's always been an honor. Like, he's so prolific.
It was great.
Was beloved.
Roseanne was also one of the judges,
right? Yeah,
And you had some actual real comedians... who I remember that one, was that one season or two seasons where they did that? Because it seemed like that show sort of weaves in and out of lore because it's despised by some and revered by others.
When I did it, it was just 100 comedians and it was just a contest. And
that was it.
There was no like reality show.
That's the part I hated about it.
Yeah. That's what everyone did.
Because Todd Glass is a friend of the show.
Yeah.
He was on it when they did do that sort of reality side thing.
Uh-huh. I opened for Kathleen Madigan and she was on it when they did like they lived in a house or whatever. But so in defense of the house, when we did it, I think the theater shows, when you go on tour, do a lot better because people know you from the show.
Okay.
Whereas when you're just doing stand-up, they just sort of like, they like you, but I think they fall in love with you when they see you in a reality
show.
They're
becoming more invested in you.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Have you played in Philly a few times?
A couple, but this is like my first full weekend here.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You have a great weekend for this, man.
You do.
Yeah.
You got lucky.
Yeah.
The weather's good. It's sucked for the past week.
That's what the hotel lady, I live in LA, so I'm just like, I love rain. I love everything.
You're right. I was just in LA a couple of weeks ago, only for a day or two, but I was talking to you out in the Acme Lounge.
Yeah.
I drove across the country and I couldn't believe.
Yeah.
Now, this is what it's like every single day.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I was 75 degrees, no humidity.
Yeah.
You can see the draw. Yeah. I mean, it'll get you. I mean, obviously, there are issues that detract tremendously. But...
Well, because it's on fire for a good month.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
When's fire season?
I'm missing it. I'm on the road.
How long have you been in L.A. now?
I moved there. I did Letterman in 2011, and then I moved to L.A. the next week.
Okay.
Yeah, not because of Letterman, but I just like to tell people I did Letterman.
I really need a friend.
Yeah.
So does it feel like home, or is it still...
Yeah, because when I was in Chicago, I stayed with my parents, so I never had a city. You know, I would drive in.
Oh,
but now L.A., like, I've been there for 11 years, and my son's there. It's weird now, because when I'm home, I'm just a dad, so I could live anywhere, really.
Right.
Don't tell my son's mom that, but, like, I could live anywhere. But I like L.A., and I'm sure I'll come back at some point, but it is nice to be there just because of the potential of everything.
What part do you live in?
I live in, like, Toluca Lake, North Hollywood, like the valley.
All right. What is, did celebrity sightings used to be a thing for you, and now they're no big deal, or?
Oh, no, I like it.
Okay.
All right, the last one you saw where you're at.
Well, the last one.
Was it John Hamm?
You know, I don't know if it's because I'm a comedian and I don't go out that much, but I don't know but one of the first ones I did, one of my friends wrote for the Sarah Silverman show.
Yes.
And so she was like, she's going to come pick me up and you can say hi or whatever. And then Sarah, like, invited me to have lunch with them.
Oh.
And she was so nice, and she was really funny. She's like, "Where should we go so you can see famous people?" And I was in the back of her Saab, being like, "I'm here. I already see you. I'm in your car."
Nice.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah.
Well, with your son,
yeah.
He's very young.
Yeah,
but do you look for signs of comedic capability?
He's. I remember when he was really young. He's very funny. We would do a thing where we scared each other. You know, like his mom and I would, and like he never did it on his own. But like they would like scare me, and I would scare them. But like there was one time where we were all in the same room. That's where we all slept. It was a one-bedroom apartment. And it's probably led to the downfall. And but there was one morning where I woke up, and he was just staring at me. And he looked at me, and he's like, ah! Like, he, like, was waiting until I woke up to scare me. I was like, that's a funny kid.
That's good.
Yeah.
I love that, man.
Well, listen, Michael's going to be performing at Punchline. He's got shows tonight, tomorrow, 7:30, 9:45. You can get tickets at punchlinephilly.com. So thanks for swinging by here.
For sure.
Hope you have great shows.
Thank
Enjoy
you.
The weather. Get out and see the city, okay?
We'll do. Yeah.
All right, thank you. Let's hear it for Michael, guys. Yay! Michael Palasek on the President and Steve Show. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. We got some more guests to share some time with, so hopefully you'll be a part of that. Stay with us.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing a lot better now.
93.3 WMMR presents...
Why is that?
Because I just won $1,000 from MMR.
Yoo-hoo, loot! Your shot to win...
$1,000, huh?
Yeah, $1,000. Good luck to you.
5 times a day.
Congratulations to you, Derek.
Thank you.
Listen for the Yoo-hoo loot thunder and get the keyword. Text it to 45911 or enter it on our website or the new MMR app.
Make sure you spend that money on something fun, all right? No bills.
Beer.
All right.
Only beer, gotcha.
See official rules and details at WMMR.com.
Thanks for playing our Yoo-hoo Loot contest.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Sponsored by Horizon Services Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Book online at HorizonEasyBook.com. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
In just a minute, we're going to get to Bailey from WWE Extreme Rules Wrestling in here in just a little bit. In the Acme Lounge right now. But I wanted to go through a couple of connoisseur stories.
Let's do it.
And then we will chat with Bailey in a couple of minutes here. But I did have some food-related items that I felt were worth passing along to you. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Casey's getting my...
Oh, yeah.
We'll get the first order up.
Set for the connoisseur.
Thank you. Nice intro.
We're making up for...
I got you.
Everything's running behind schedule here.
I love this. I wish we would have... Well, we do kind of have things like this in Philly, but Cheetos recently unveiled a giant Cheeto statue.
Okay. And it's perfect.
In Cheetle, Alberta. So the monument, which is almost 17 feet tall, shows a thumb and two fingers holding a Cheetos puff snack in the air.
Oh, man.
So the hand is like a silver.
Right.
The Cheeto is orange, and it's got the dust all over the fingers. Which, by the way, the technical or the nickname for that dust is Cheetle. That's what they call it.
That's brilliant. I didn't realize.
They call the dust. It says the fingers are covered in the Cheetos orange dust, which Cheeto says is officially called Cheetle. And that's why they're in Cheetle. Now, Cheetle, Alberta is spelled C-H-E-A-D-L-E.
Not like Don Cheetle.
But Cheetle from Cheetos is C-H-E-E-T-L-E. So the brand says that it was on the lookout for the perfect home for its statue when it came across a hamlet in Alberta with a kindred name.
I think it's great.
Yep, the statue won't stick around forever. Kathy, take a look at the picture here. That's what it looks
17 feet tall.
Isn't that awesome?
By the way, you know, I think your son, Carter, figured out a way to eat the Cheetos or anything that can create Cheetle.
Yeah.
Now he does it, I believe, with chopsticks.
Chopsticks, yes.
I use a steak knife and I poke.
Okay.
Poke them.
You could use a fork too, I guess. Yes.
Or you could just use your fingers and lick your fingers.
Yeah, no. You can do that. But Carter uses chopsticks for popcorn if it's, you know, buttery or something like that. So.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Was She-Hulk the one who was eating them with
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, she does the same thing.
Right.
Yeah. Which I had thought was kind of funny. The statue won't be around forever. Canadians only have until November 4th to visit the Cheetle Hand statue. Cheetos is a Canadian snack brand.
I didn't know that.
The Frito-Lay Canada portfolio, which is owned by Pepsi Foods in Canada.
Okay, because we also were just told recently that somebody was getting their Lay's products from Canada.
Right. So what happened was is that I ordered, my wife likes, there's two types of low-salt chips that she likes. Hers and Lay's. So we couldn't get to hers, but the Lay's came from Canada
yeah.
through Amazon, and I'm like, it's a whole new world out there.
Right, right.
Canadian potato chips.
So, Kath, I want to ask you, because yep. I know that you're really turned off by licking your fingers.
Yeah.
Would you lick someone else's fingers?
No, God, ew. I am turned off by it, but it's like if you have like a little something, you're like, oh, okay. But okay. like to have all like another whole Cheeto on your fingers. And listen, Casey, I do love you, even though Casey and I have this thing on the show and a little mm-hmm. tension. But when you lick your fingers after eating something, like I want to escort you to the bathroom and to say, here's the sink and here's the soap. You can wash that off.
Yeah, it's not all about just getting your fingers clean, though. It's about getting that taste.
It's the taste.
Yeah.
Like the best part of the Cheeto is that dust. And when you have three layers of dust on your pointer, middle, and thumb.
And then it mixes with not washing your hands after going to the bathroom.
Well, that's where I'm going with this. What if you wash your hands before you eat?
No.
You eat.
No.
You
no.
lick and then wash your hands afterwards.
It's about etiquette. You're not supposed to be sitting there slopping up what's left over on your fingers.
If I'm in the comfort of my own home.
That would be the same thing as picking up your plate. And licking your plate after you were done eating.
It's worse.
Do you do that?
I disagree as far as it being. I think it's a compliment to the chef.
Yes, you're right.
If you're licking your fingers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In our culture, we defecate on the table to say we enjoyed the meal.
No, listen, chicken wings, you kidding me?
Uh-huh.
Get that sauce all over your fingers?
This is exquisite. Let me lick your fingers.
I can't.
Oh,
that
my
might
God.
Be on the lines of listening to Nick Chimp. I think you've entered. Yeah. Like, I can't. Oh, God.
I would rather.
Yeah.
Nick can generate some sounds.
It's
I'd rather listen to kittens being fed into a wood chipper.
Oh,
the best is when I was licking the peanut butter cups off my fingers behind Jackie Bam Bam. Because I was going for it, right? And I was doing it on purpose.
Sick.
And then, eventually, he just looks at me in the rearview mirror. We just locked eyes. And I was like,
All right. Well, anyway, if you want to see the gigantic Cheeto statue, it is in Cheadle, Alberta.
I love it.
Canada. Next order up. All right. So, butterboards, we talked about this. This has been kind of the latest.
Charcuterie board.
Craze. Yeah. So, it's bread and butter with the butter spread and mixed in a combination of herbs and toppings and things like that. So, here are a couple of more interesting ways to serve your butterboard if you have done this or haven't tried it out yet. This is a way you can do it. First, they recommend you use high-quality grass-fed butter.
This whole concept is still...
It's like
just sitting down to a cup of mayonnaise.
You're making a butter board. Yeah. Like, come on.
But haven't you ever had that like Irish butter?
Yes.
You guys know what I'm talking about?
We get it. Yeah, it's great. We have Irish butter.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't sit down and eat a stick of it.
It's in a green... No, but so what you're doing is you're putting it on bread.
Right.
You know, so the bread is the, you know, the butter is just the added bonus.
Bonus.
Wait, Casey, we had some of it in our refrigerator in the office for like months. I had no idea. I was like, whose is this? Why is it sitting here?
Did I bring it in because I made some sort of... pancake or something?
Well, I don't know. And then I was like, because I also eat it as well. And so I was like, wait, did I bring it in? Am I looking at this thinking someone should throw this out and it's me?
It's early onset dementia. Oh, no.
Seriously?
Wait, hang on. No. I brought something in for you guys and we ate it. And
you
probably had to put butter. Was it when we made sourdough bread with Tom Papa?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's probably
that was excellent.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right, so use high-quality grass-fed butter. Most content creators use unsalted butter so they can then add their own salty flakes.
Oh, that's the favorite of content creators.
Place parchment paper on the board and put your butter on top for easy cleanup. Next, you add your favorite flavor. Some people use spicy seasonings.
Oh, spicy.
With peanuts and chili.
Oh, my God, peanuts.
For a little crunch with a kick. And others go sweet with roasted butternut squash and honey butter.
So we have taken what used to be a water fountain, and now it dispenses A1 steak sauce, Preston.
Okay.
Like the chocolate fountain.
Yeah, exactly.
You dip your steak in it?
Yeah.
That's a good idea. I wonder if that would work.
You're backward engineering all these things. No. Don't put the butter on the bread. Nope. Put the bread on the butter.
Yeah. All right. And then we'll just do one more story because we do have a guest who is standing by. Order up.
All right, we're going to talk about food poisoning. This is
I've had this twice.
Yeah. Yep, so a gut health scientist is revealing the five foods he always avoids because of this. A man is known
as... Is one of them a butterboard?
Mr. Gut Health on TikTok.
All right.
Filmed a video explaining why he refuses to eat these foods, and according to him, they are no-goes as they are the ones that are most likely to give someone food poisoning. So the scientist claims that food poisoning can increase your risk of having long-term gut health problems such as post-infectious IBS. So kicking off the forbidden foods list, he reveals oysters.
Never have them.
Oysters are filter feeders, so they pick up everything in the water, including bacteria.
Yeah.
So he says avoid those if you can.
And
but
you eat them raw, too. So.
You eat them raw, yeah. I don't mind them. I mean, like all of these things he mentions on here, I eat.
Yeah.
But
and you're fine.
Yeah, look at me.
Yeah.
So another way he says don't order your beef burgers rare.
I never do.
He continues by saying it's not the same as getting a steak. Beef burgers are typically made from minced meat, so all the bacteria on the outside gets mixed in together. Make sure you order them at least medium rare, not rare.
So I put the bacteria on the side and I dip the meat in it.
Smart.
No, I like pink to red in the center.
Medium rare.
Love it. Yeah, medium rare is fantastic.
Yeah.
Next up, the expert warns against discounted sushi.
You mean that you find it in an alleyway?
As it may be a major culprit for food poisoning. He said most fish used to make sushi is actually frozen to kill the parasites and bacteria. But it goes off real quickly once prepared. So make sure that you eat it all on the same day.
Will you guys do like supermarket sushi?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't prefer it.
No.
But it gets the job done sometimes.
Yeah.
And,
if you find it.
A lot of places now have them, have a sushi bar, a lot of grocery stores, and I've had decent sushi. But
if you find sushi between the pillows and your couch, will you eat that?
I'll do the sniff test first.
Just a five-second rule.
Yeah. There's a place in Wilmington that I want to try out. It's called Pizza Maki, and it is a pizza place.
Maki?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't.
Yeah.
And it's a pizza place and a sushi joint.
And a dry cleaner
at the
same
time.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, you can bring, you know, if the kids don't like sushi, you give them pizza, and then you and the significant other.
I don't mind if I do.
What to do? The final food item is bagged salad in the supermarket.
That surprises me. Over the past 5 or 6 years, that has been the culprit. Bagged salad. You figure, it's produce. It's
right.
Fine.
It's washed, too.
Yeah.
But the reason the pre-washed, pre-packaged salads are so risky is because there are so many potential cross-contamination points, and the inside of the bags are always moist, and that's apparently...
Growing grounds.
Yeah, a perfect environment for bacteria, too.
And they're often washed off in baby's blood, right?
Proliferate.
That's how I got food poisoning, was from salad, the last time that I had it.
Really?
And it was the worst case of food poisoning I have ever had. I got it from chicken once before as well, and that was bad, but the salad one, and I don't know if it had anything to do with the food,
yeah.
But... I mean, it was awful.
Yeah.
I had it from chicken and from pork. And my God, that two of the sickest I've ever been in my life.
And you know what?
Sickest.
Never from Snickers.
Yes. No, not once. You're right. Let's keep our eye on the ball here. Or Cheetos, either.
Or Cheetos. That's right.
All right. So keep that in mind. That's just one of these experts weighing in on that. So
we're saving lives today.
That's it. That's all we have time for in the connoisseur file. But... we have a guest who is here, and we're happy to welcome her back to Philadelphia, back to our studio. And WWE Extreme Rules is taking place tomorrow at the Wells Fargo Center, 7:30. Tickets available at WellsFargoCenterPhilly.com. And happy to have back in our studio Bailey this morning.
Hey.
How are you, Bailey?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Thanks for coming by this morning. When did you get into town?
Yesterday at like 11 p.m.
Okay.
So
travel day,
hence the large coffee that I have. Yes, yeah, all the way from California, so that's always a long travel.
Yeah,
and you guys are always traveling. You're always on
always.
The
yeah.
So 11 o'clock, that's better than taking the red eye thing from LA. That's
oh yeah, don't want to do that. Well, I wouldn't have made it on time.
No.
Yeah.
True.
I would have been here at like 7 a.m.
But yeah. It's so easy to travel around LA, so that shouldn't be.
Where are you from, by the way?
California and San Jose.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not right. L.A., San Jose.
San Jose.
Yeah, a huge difference.
Okay.
Is that where you live now? Or
I do, yeah.
Okay.
I was living in Tampa and Orlando when I first got signed to WWE, and then I lived in Austin for a few years, and I just moved back to San Jose right before the pandemic.
You have to get good at living out of a, I mean, WWE stars, all you guys, and we've had a lot of you through here, and you guys really work hard, and you got to get used to living out of a bag, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like six bags, if you're me. Yeah. Yeah. But you become like, I tell my mom all the time, I'm a pro traveler. She gives me crap about driving all the time. Make sure you look over your shoulder. Make sure you wear your seatbelt. Make sure you do this. Oh, don't look at your phone. I'm like, Mom, I'm a professional traveler.
Yeah.
I know what I'm doing, okay? Right. You don't understand what we do.
Have you refined down your bag count? Because a lot of times you get more efficient at packing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, and sometimes, like, now that I've gotten older and been on the road longer, I just kind of recycle the same things. I just wear the same gym clothes and same outfits.
Oh, yeah. My father's 94, and, like, when he travels periodically.
Wow.
For, like, I'm going to Europe. I put all my luggage in one Pringles can. I'm like, what? It, like, it's a big thing.
So
it's part of the deal.
Hey, Bailey, where is the you mentioned Tampa, the WWE home space?
Right. Like we're in Stamford, Connecticut is where, like, the headquarters are. But in Orlando, we have the Performance Center, which is where NXT's filmed at and where all the NXT people train and things like that.
Okay, so is it, like, a stadium-sized facility? Because that's what I have in my mind.
Pretty much. I mean, they have, like, state-of-the-art gym inside there, like the NFL elite gyms like that. That's kind of how Triple H based it off of. And then they have, when I first started training there, there's six different rings, but because they run TV there now, there's one main ring, and there's a whole, you can fit an audience in there. There's a whole stage and a ramp and everything. They do TV, and now they have the whole building next door, which is where the training happens.
What's it like being around, like, giants all the time? That's just, you know.
It's so funny. I'm pretty used to it now.
Are ya?
Yeah, like, my friends ask me all the time, like, oh my God, he's so handsome. She's hot. Wow, he's huge. But, like, I don't even think of it like that anymore, you know?
Just going to work.
Like, coworkers. Yeah, brother and sisters, and just what we see them all the time.
That's a cool thing about what, and we talked about, you know, on this show, we've been together for a long time, and we have a certain language and a certain understanding of things that no one else will have. And you're in this group, you have to have that familial sense with all, you know, first off, you're all great show people. You know how to work with the audience. You know how to keep it, you know, and you put the time in. But you guys will have a set of experiences and circumstances that no one else can understand. That's got to be a cool thing.
Yeah, it really is like a bond that you grow throughout the years. And it's like a lot of unspoken roles and just things like that, that nobody will really understand it. Like, even in relationships or my family or my best friends that I've known throughout my whole wrestling career, you could tell somebody stories, and I'm sure it's the same here. I tell people things, but they can't relate the way that somebody that's going through it with you can.
Right.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Casey. Did you want to be a wrestler since you were a kid?
Yeah, since I was 10 years old.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So as a fan and somebody who's been in the industry for a long time, you probably have a keener idea of who you would put in here. And I'm talking about the Mount Rushmore of wrestlers. And I'm going to do the Mount Rushmore of male wrestlers. Because I just saw one the other day, and you can always, the first two, and you can even do it with quarterbacks. Oh, the first two, Tom Brady and Joe Montana. Mm-hmm. Boom. Those are the first two. No question about it. So in this Mount Rushmore, it would be Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan. And then I saw Stone Cold, and they had The Undertaker, and I was like, wow, I never thought about putting The Undertaker there, and, like, why not The Rock? But The Undertaker's been at it for, I feel like, the longest.
And he's so well-known.
So do you have a Mount Rushmore? Do you have a top four that is, you know, that, yes, these are the top four?
Male and women?
Yes.
I'm just saying male.
Female?
Yeah. I want to hear the women, too. I'm saying, male, female.
Okay, cool.
Love this?
Favorites. I hate it.
You need that coffee for this.
Okay, and it could change all the time, but right now I will say Sasha Banks, Randy Orton, Stone Cold. Dang, that's hard.
John Cena?
Yeah, let's go with John Cena. He revolutionized the whole era, you know.
Hulk didn't make it at all. Ric Flair didn't make it at all.
No.
This is her list.
I know, this is my list. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm a little bit younger.
Oh,
I'm
sorry. Yeah. Yes. You want to play it?
Yes, and your frame of reference is younger, right? Yes, yeah. Right. These aren't the people that... Yeah.
I didn't even put Macho Man in there. He was my favorite. He was the first one to draw me into wrestling.
We had him and Gorgeous George in the studio years ago, probably 20 years ago.
Yep. Wow.
Here's the funny thing. He and Gorgeous George went into the bathroom, and it was like Clark Kent going into a phone booth, right? Because he went in like, you know, Randall, and then he came out Macho Man.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I never got to meet him. I would have loved to meet him.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It was definitely a highlight of my career, and it was early on, too.
Yeah, that's true. Cool. Hey, we meant to ask you about this, because we saw that Sara Lee, former WWE wrestler, just passed away yesterday. Yeah. Did you know her?
Yeah, we worked together in NXT.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, for a year or two, maybe. Yeah, super sad.
It's so sad. Yeah, and solid
30 shape. Years old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's very young.
Did you worked with her often? We
trained in the same place, drove to shows together once in a while. So, yeah, it's sad. She's married to one of my good friends, Corey, and they have three kids together.
Yeah, we've seen very little details about it at all.
There's not many details, but anyone who's listening, you know, send your prayers to Sarah's family and the Weston family.
Yeah,
it's it's sad. It's happened a couple of times in wrestling. We have these people who are beloved and you know, misfortune or whatever. This happens throughout the history. And you said you didn't get to meet Macho Man, but. Who do you have? Is there anyone you still have yet to meet within the industry that is on your list of I have to? If I meet anyone else, it has to be this person. Jaded?
No, I'm definitely not jaded. I still get excited when I see Rey Mysterio every week. You know, I've pretty much met all my heroes. You know, I just recently was on Raw with Trish Stratus. I've gotten to team with her and Lita before. We were my idols growing up. I've done Stone Cold's podcast 3 times and went four-wheeling with him in Tahoe.
He's a good host.
Yeah, he's great.
We've had him on, and he's, again, all you guys have that ability to work. You're natural show people, you know, when it comes to this stuff. Did you enter that way, or did you have to be brought along?
Oh, I was terrible.
Were you?
I hated the camera. I didn't know how to talk. I didn't know how to... I wasn't presentable at all. I just wanted to be a wrestler. So when I got signed, I was 23, and I had no idea what I was doing. I just was like, no, just throw me in the ring. Let me wrestle. Yeah. That's what I'm here for. But WWE is so much more than that, because we do things like this all morning, every day, every week. We're on TV every week, and you have to go to talk shows and all that stuff. And I just didn't understand the character side of it until, you know, they kind of bashed it into my brain and literally put me in classes of 3 people, and Dusty Rhodes was my coach back then.
Wow, that's wild. Yeah, well, whatever they're doing, they should train other entertainers, because,
it's crazy.
What's crazy is, as a professional athlete, like, your goal is to make sure that the crowd doesn't boo you. But in wrestling, in professional wrestling, your goal, some people's goal is like, I need to have this entire arena hate my guts.
Yeah.
And for some reason, like, that is the right thing to do.
Yeah, it's the fun thing to do.
Yeah.
You enjoy that side of it.
It's definitely fun. Like, I was in my hometown a couple weeks ago, and I'm a bad guy. So
yes.
I'm like, you know, how am I going to get the crowd to...
But you didn't
start
that way.
I've got like 30 friends and family, you know? How are they going to boo me? And I'm looking at them like, don't cheer, you know? I have to like bash the home team.
Yeah, your whole family's booing you.
You know what, though? You're loved. You're loved that way. I mean, like, Preston talks about his genesis with Ric Flair.
With Ric Flair.
Until he finally realized what it was about.
I hated him so much when I was a kid. I just thought he was the meanest person in the world. And he's just evil and all this. And then it was a few years ago, because I had, I'd not thought about those days for a long, 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 long time. And I was on YouTube and I found a video. An hour of Ric Flair freaking out. So it was just a montage of him posing and doing all his things. And I started watching this and I'm like, I love this. I didn't realize how much entertainment that man had given me when I legitimately hated him as a kid.
Now
I love him. I'm a golfer, so on my driver, my head cover is a picture of Ric Flair.
Oh, my God.
And it just says, woo! I love it. I didn't realize.
He got you.
He got me, man.
You know,
He got you.
That was so cool.
He's incredible.
Is it fun being a bad guy?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Yeah, I kind of get to do, like, I think throughout my career, I've been able to evolve with my character as, same with, like, my personality, my true life personality got to evolve with my character at the same time.
It's cool.
And I feel like I'm there now where I kind of get to mix in my goofy annoyingness with, you know, trying to be a jerk.
It's so cool.
Do you from time to time encounter people like me that didn't know that, you know, you're not really a bad person?
Shh, don't tell people.
I wanted to ask you, you're in, I think, are you in 6 WWE video games?
I don't know how many. Okay. That sounds about right, though. Yeah.
A, have you played yourself,
My nephews do.
Okay.
Yeah, my nephews are 10 and 16, so they've played as me, and my friends have as well. I don't think I'm as fun to play. I'll play, like, you know, Randy Orton and Macho Man, but when I watch myself, I'm like, I don't even do that move, but I'm going to start doing it. The video game version of me wrestles way better than me.
Oh, well, there you go.
By the way, before you answered Steve's question, did you just crack your neck?
Yeah. I know. I'm so sorry. I couldn't. Like, Can you guys hear that on the air?
I saw you go like that, and I heard a little... Her little pop. Yeah. Just cracked her neck on the air. But listen, you
gotta
get
ready for my big ladder match, you know?
Ladder matches.
So that's happening.
Crazy.
That's happening this weekend, right?
Tomorrow night, yeah. Okay. This time tomorrow, well, not this time tomorrow, but.
Yeah.
This time Sunday, I'll be your new Raw Women's Champion.
There it is.
Ladder marks all over me, probably, but it'll be worth it.
So you were the first Triple Crown. Female Triple Crown winner, right?
Yeah. First one to win all the titles.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Can you talk about Bianca? That's who you're facing tomorrow.
I mean, if I have to. Gosh, she has been a pain in my butt for a long time. We have such a long history with each other. There she is. Yep.
So I'm on the screen
so,
here.
Yeah. You
there
know
you
that
go.
Goody two shoes. She's so perfect looking. She's jacked. We have a long history, just like we started in the pandemic, going against each other. We're so different from each other, but also very similar. I used to be a lot like her when I was in my early stages of my career, which she'll get to. You know, she's not a grizzled vet like myself. She also has never been in a ladder match, so I have that against
her. That advantage.
My first ladder match, I won. So, you know, I was Money in the Bank winner.
Yeah.
She's never really experienced that.
Interesting.
For those who don't know the ladder match, can you describe that, please?
So we have the championship that was on her shoulder. The Raw Women's Championship will be hanging over the ring. And then you have to basically just climb the ladder and grab it, which sounds easy, but it's very scary up there, for one.
Yeah, this is you're painting the second
Bianca
floor of
there.
A house. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it looks like at least 15 feet up there.
Yeah. Plus you add the ring, then your own height, and you're 30 feet in the air next thing
you
know.
you guys, and it's the truth that we say to everybody, you know, the injury possibility is extraordinary. You'll have to be really solid athletes. You do have a bit of a martial arts training in your background, do you not?
I did karate as a kid.
Okay. Yeah.
No, I've been training for wrestling since I was like 18. So
it's been wrestling since then?
Yeah.
Did you ever study classic, you know, Greco-Roman style or just...
No, I was going to in high school, but I was also a basketball player, so I just stuck with basketball because it was during the same season.
Okay.
And sometimes I wish I did it, but I, you know, I'm happy with
it. You're not hurting because you didn't.
Yeah. Well, it's very physical. Like, I just came back from an injury, which I got hurt not even... performing or anything. I was in the ring, but I was just training.
Yeah.
So being back and being in a big match like this is a first ever women's ladder match for a championship. And I feel like, wow. This time last year, I wasn't even walking around. So.
Oh, wow.
What was your injury?
Really big deal. I tore ACL.
Oh, okay. There you go.
All right.
Yeah.
And how long does a tear like that take to repair?
Standard is 9 months, but I was out for a year. And I guess that took me a little longer.
I hear that more of it is...
Oh, there's my dog, Fletch.
Oh, the picture's up in the studio of you at home convalescing.
Yeah. Great name. Yeah. It's a great dog name. But I hear mentally is the hardest part about coming back from an ACL, just trusting yourself and trusting that the recovery, that your navel is going to be... your knee is going to be stable enough to plant and do all that stuff.
Yeah, that was like what I was most concerned with, I guess. And then, like I said, it took me a little bit longer. So towards the end of my rehab process, the first few times I got in the ring, the next day my leg would be swollen, and I would, you know what, let me take a couple days. I didn't want to like rush
to get back in because wrestling is year-round. We don't have any off seasons. I'm not going to miss anything.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to keep going, so I don't need a rush in. If my leg's swollen, I'm not going to... I'm too old to now to be like...
it's got to be tough,
let's
though.
Let's rush it.
You know, we talk to athletes in all sports and the wrestlers and... When that's your deal, that your body is your money maker, and of course, obviously, your performing capabilities as well. You know, to me, it would seem like you would just like fight to get in as quickly as you can, and that's where the real substantial injuries occur. If you're not giving yourself enough recuperation time, did you have to learn teach yourself to hold back and say, okay, I'm just going to do more damage. I've got to play this smartly.
Yeah, I definitely had to learn the hard way, I guess, and even through workouts. Sometimes I would. In my years ago and 5 years, 5 or 6 years ago, if I was sore and tired, I would still force myself to work out. Yeah. But it would only make it worse for when I was wrestling that night or wrestling the next day or whatever. So just had to learn to listen to my body. And definitely now after this injury, I think my body needed a break for so long where it literally made me stop.
Okay.
So now I listen to everything I feel.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, all that recovery, all that training, it's going to come to its fruition as the ladder match is happening at WWE Extreme Rules. And the event is tomorrow, but the ladder match is on Sunday, did you say?
Nope, no, it is tomorrow. Yeah, there's all kinds of, we have like 6 different matches, 6 different stipulations.
Okay.
And we say it all the time, if you've never gone,
so much
I don't
fun.
Care what
even if you
think
don't
it's
care.
About. I don't think if you go, you have to see it in person.
These ones. Yeah. Like I said, every match is a stipulation. So there's all kinds of weapons. There's a fight pit. There's an I Quit match. There's Ronda Rousey is going to be in there in a no holds barred match. So tomorrow night is a big one.
You'll get caught up in it. And what WWE does is they, even when there's a pause, there is no pause.
There is no pause.
There's no break. It's just, it's you're constantly, there's stimuli keeping you entertained the entire time. And I've seen it firsthand. It's a blast. So tickets available at Wells Fargo Center, Philly.com for tomorrow night. WWE Extreme Rules. It's great to see you, Bailey. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
And good luck
in
your match, all right?
Thank you. I need it.
All right, let's hear from Bailey, everybody. We'll take a break and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Cue the jingle. Fall activities. There it is. It's Kathy Romano, and I've revealed my 2022 Kathy's Fall Activities list. 10 brand new ideas to get you into sweater weather mood. Find the list, which includes helpful tips and coupon codes for all you fall activity fanatics, posted now on PrestonandSteve.com.
Real quick, I can do a couple of butt plugs. This one got an email about a former intern of ours. Her name is Nicole Saunders. Her last name is now Roche or Roche. Mother of 3. And in July, Nicole was diagnosed with stage 4 cervical cancer. Oh. She's also the caregiver of her mother who suffers with dementia. And then listen to this. Her middle son, Wesley, 4 years old, just diagnosed with metastatic kidney cancer.
What?
They're getting hit with a lot of stuff.
It's unbearable.
Wesley, the young boy, is currently staying at shop. Nicole and her husband, Alex, are both self-employed, and they have these mounting medical bills. It's just beating them up really hard. So she's diagnosed stage 4 cervical cancer, and then the 4-year-old with metastatic kidney cancer. So they're going through a lot. A friend has set up a GoFundMe page. Marissa has posted this on PrestonandSteve.com. If you can help out, please help out, because they're in a tough spot.
That's God bless them. I don't know how you deal with all that, but obviously this is why they need the help. So
yep. So just go to PrestonandSteve.com and click on Marissa. What would that be under community, under events?
Yeah,
under...
if you go to WMR.com, you click the menu and you go to events and community, and it's right there. We'll share it up on our socials as well too.
Okay, and then there's another one. This is an event that's taking place this weekend, and it was a tragedy, but they're trying to get something positive out of this. It's taking place Sunday in Limerick at the Limerick Fire Department. It's called Keegan's Touch a Truck, held in the memory of Keegan, who unexpectedly passed away in his sleep last year. He passed away 6 days after his first birthday, sadly on what was supposed to be the day of his birthday party. So his family's hosting. Yeah, they're hosting the event to finally give Keegan the second birthday celebration he deserves. I'm sorry, I'm getting.
I read this
choked
email.
Up while I'm reading this,
and I was like, "Are you kidding me?"
Terrible.
So he was, it was declared sudden unexplained death in childhood. SUDC is what that's called. And so the money's going to raise is going to go towards the foundation, the SUDC Foundation, in hope of one day finding an answer to why Keegan is no longer with us. So you can bring your family, especially the little ones, and they're going to have fire trucks and police cars and construction and utility trucks and all this stuff, because I guess he must have loved this stuff. All kids love these things.
Yeah.
So that is on Sunday, 11 to 3. The Limerick Fire Department on Ridge Pike's real big, beautiful fire department. You can't miss it. So we want to send people in that direction. The weather looks great this weekend, so if you can go out there, they would greatly appreciate it. So we have that on PrestonandSteve.com as well. So click on events and then community, and you'll find that information. We need to do the bizarre file right now.
Bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, it is brought to you this morning by Primo Hoagies. Watching the game with some friends this week? Well, score big and serve in style with Primo Hoagies. You can order online at PrimoHoagies.com. It's not just a hoagie. It is a Primo. All right, we'll begin with a, let me see here, a fairly short one. How about this one? Okay, this is, I normally don't lead with somebody doing something like this. In fact, I've never heard of this. Okay. An Eastern Washington rancher has been sentenced to 11 years in prison by a federal judge. So 11 years in prison. And this is for a massive ghost cattle scam that defrauded Tyson Foods and another company out of more than $244 million.
Wow. It's another catastrophe.
Yes. There you go, buddy.
Cody Easterday was sentenced in federal court for what the judge is calling the biggest theft or fraud I've seen in my career.
Does a ghost cow go moo or boo?
I think it's moo. Prosecutors contend Easterday had fraudulently charged the companies for approximately 265,000 head of cattle that didn't exist.
Man.
And destroyed his family's ranching empire.
Sure.
In the process.
Yeah.
He amassed significant personal wealth, yet he wanted more, so he defrauded his victims of nearly $250 million by charging for cattle that never existed. The judge also ordered him to pay $244 million in restitution.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Served 3 years of probation after he's released from prison. He and his business, Easterday Ranchers, entered into agreements with Tyson Foods and other companies whereby Easterday Ranches agreed to purchase and feed cattle on their behalf under these agreements. The victims advanced Easterday's ranches the cost of buying and raising the cattle. So he got this advance,
yeah,
essentially, for stuff that he didn't even have. And he ended up spending a whole bunch of it, but I'd never heard of that before.
It's like a beef Ponzi scheme.
Yeah. Yeah. Milk them for everything.
Yeah. I like that. I like that.
Well, that's good, Casey. let's see. This is a terrible story. A young woman who accidentally died at Liverpool's historic Adelphi Hotel was crushed by a wardrobe after waking in the middle of the night and mistaking it for the bathroom door.
So she went to open it and it tumbled over onto her?
Fell on her.
Jeez.
Chloe Haynes, 21 years old, was found dead in the famed city hotel after emergency services rushed to the scene following a safety concern. Her mother...
Here's the ambulance heading over there.
Her mother, Nicola, had revealed that the wardrobe is believed to have fallen off of the wall and crushed her windpipe.
That's...
She said, it looks like she got out of bed confused, not knowing where she is, and opened the wardrobe door, maybe thinking that it's the bathroom door or the exit or the room, and it was a big, old, heavy wardrobe, and it fell on her and crushed her windpipe. So that's why, listen, if you have a heavy piece of furniture like that, you got to secure it to the wall.
Yeah. So a lot of times, now this is obviously something that was older in the house and may not have had the option, but when you get something now of a large size like that, they usually come with an attachment that secures it to the wall.
Yep, you can anchor it.
Did it indicate whether she was intoxicated or not?
She was, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, she had been out drinking, so, but still.
No, I know, but my
what
roommate.
What a way to go.
Well, my roommate my freshman year fell off of his desk. Because he was drinking, he thought he was climbing back into bed. So it was like very similar. And he'd
you got to be way out of it for that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, he'd peed in his closet first. But anyway,
what a wonderful night.
That back happens to you, Preston. Paramount.
Yep.
All right. Also, here's a short one. A 34-year-old man is dead after attempting to do a handstand on a balcony at a Myrtle Beach hotel. Willard, who was Willard here?
That's a rat.
No, the coroner is Tamar Willard.
Oh.
Said that Markle Hope of Akron, Ohio, fell from a 15th floor balcony at the Patricia Grand Hotel in South Carolina, apparently trying to do a handstand. So I don't know if this guy was drunk too, but I died at the scene of his injuries, and his death has been considered.
Was it worth it?
Accidental. Here's another interesting building story. A viral video shows a man in a suit jumping between awnings atop a New York City high-rise. The daredevil eventually climbed onto a 23rd-story window of the building. I saw the pictures
of this.
It'll
give you vertigo.
It looks insane.
Yeah, he's
way up there. The businessman seemed to be on a phone call as he begins jumping. He finishes the call, leaps 4 times, then goes back inside. Eric Young, who filmed the video, posted the death-defying scene on Instagram. He was already hopping around from awning to awning when we first saw him, he said. So it's crazy.
Yeah, he was apparently checking for leaks in the roof.
Is that what he was doing?
That was the deal? Yeah, he was actually contracted to go up and fight these leaks.
All righty then. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. All right, our next guest is on the line. She's a wonderful performer, and we've had, I think in the years past, we've talked to her before.
Yes.
But she's on to speak of The Good House. We were just talking to Marina Baccarin the other day. The film stars her and Sigourney Weaver and Kevin Kline and our guest. Please welcome Beverly D'Angelo to the show.
Hey!
Hello, Beverly. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning. I'm going to be in that area pretty soon in December. Ooh. Chevy Chase and I are doing Steel City Con just outside of Pittsburgh.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's fantastic.
Okay, look, I'm a big truth in advertising, all right?
Okay, do tell.
It is starring Kevin Kline, Sigourney Weaver, the wonderful Marina, Paul Guilfoyle is in it, too. They're great. Rob Delaney. I'm only in this for a few minutes.
It does still matter. There's no small parts to small actors. I'm sure you shine in the movie.
I'll tell you, here's the thing. The book... fantastic. The script, fantastic. To be in the same room with Sigourney Weaver witnessing, her turn in a performance that is Oscar caliber and be part of a story that's a really cool story. It's about a person who, it's kind of a memory piece, but her life is disintegrating. And you watch her meet those challenges and come through it and find love. I mean, that's it in a nutshell, and it's a beautiful piece. It's dramatic. It's important. And it's cool to watch.
We love movies like this. We were telling Marina that, and an ensemble of this level, and everyone has their stories, and everyone has they're not black or white. There's issues to everyone's life, I love seeing things that are involved like that, where you're drawn into this town and into the lives of these people.
Yeah, it is. It's great. I want people to see it. But really, I'm only in it for a little bit.
All right, we'll know that going in. All right, so,
but who are you in the film, Beverly? What role do you play?
Her name's Mamie Lang, and I'm a childhood friend of hers who has not stopped drinking.
Okay.
Are you a bit of an enabler?
An enabler, yeah.
Okay.
An enabler. It's the Sigourney's character really struggles with alcoholism.
Okay.
That's part of what it's about.
Beverly, we have to bring up the fact we've been talking about the passing of Loretta Lynn and how phenomenal you were in Coal Miner's Daughter as Patsy Cline. Any memories you're able to share of that whole period?
Absolutely. Well, that was a real life changer for me. That was I loved being a part of that movie. And, I knew about Patsy Cline because I'd started out as a singer, and so I knew about her. But kind of, she faded from public consciousness. So to be able to bring, her up again. And that was really coming from Loretta, because Patsy was so important to Loretta. And I knew that. So when I went down to Nashville to do the pre-record for the soundtrack with Owen Bradley, who'd been Patsy and Loretta Lynn's original producer, I got the word I was going to meet Loretta, and I went to this little office, and I walked in, and she said, "Well, you don't look like Patsy." And I thought, oh, no, what am I going to do? But, you know, I had started out as a singer, and a singer, you know, all over the place and in bars. So I knew a little bit about how to get somebody's attention, and I was confident in my singing. So I said, you know, well, can I sing a song for you? And she said, yeah, sure. So I had to turn around, though. I couldn't look her eye, because if I would have seen any judgment or any letdown, I think I would have just lost it. So I sang Walking After Midnight, and when I turned around, she said, well, sure.
And that was it.
That'll do.
That is great. That is awesome. Oh, because the role, Sissy Spacek and you all got massive kudos, deservedly so, but that it turned that way.
I was just so sad to see Loretta go, though,
yeah.
Because, you know, all the cliches, like people, you won't meet anybody like her again, and she was a force of nature. Those things are really true. I mean, her life story, to be born into that kind of poverty, be married at 15, six kids by 30, go from that to influencing a whole world. She said it was her and Patsy, but it's true. It was her and Patsy. Mm-hmm. But, you know, changing the face of what a woman was, you know, what a female singer was in country music, and the stories that she told. And she did all that keeping her authenticity intact.
Mm.
And I just, you know, we really will not see the likes of her again. So
no.
It was certainly the passing of a great woman, and who did something that I can't imagine anybody else ever doing.
And the film is fantastic. It's such a great representation. We were telling some of our coworkers that haven't seen it that you need to see this movie. It still stands. It's still a wonderful film.
Yes, got an Oscar for it. It got 8 Oscar nominations. It's a great movie and a wonderful tribute to Loretta.
Beverly, before we do let you go here in a moment, I saw a trailer for a film yesterday. That gave me so much joy. I was laughing so hard when I saw the trailer for Violent Night, and you're in this film.
Check it out.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be great.
It's David Harbour's in it. You're in the film with him. And I didn't even know it was him at first. And then I was just absolutely cracking up.
Listen, I have news for you. The trailer is excellent, and the trailer lets you know about this little girl who's very much part of the heartbeat and all the action stuff, but it's wider ranging than that.
Okay.
It really is. I mean, this film is a genre shifter.
Oh, yeah?
It's got action and comedy and heartbeat and blood and love. You know, I mean, it covers everything. The trailer is a great enticement, but what's waiting for you in the theaters is huge.
Oh, we're so excited for it.
I cannot wait. Excellent. All right, but in the meantime, we have The Good House, and it's out in theaters now, and we will send people to see that as well. So it's great to talk to you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, and Merry Christmas to you, too.
Yes.
Thank you, Beverly. We appreciate the call this morning. Take care, okay?
Okay,
all right. We'll see you later. There she goes. Beverly D'Angelo. So I don't know if you could make out what we were saying, because she was kind of jumping in as well. But the movie is called Violent Night.
Yeah.
David Harbour is Santa Claus and gets thrown into this kind of Die Hard situation. It's kind of modeled after Die Hard.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I was... Kathy, you heard me laughing.
Heard you, yes, I
was
did.
Just and at me at 5:30 to get me to laugh that loud. I was cracking up. I think we have some audio.
We do have the
audio.
Yes,
Casey, if you can pull that up, because it was just.
I love it.
I'm so glad you sent that to me, Steve.
We now have within a couple of years.
Yeah.
And I'm just gonna say it. I'm gonna love this no matter what it is. Violent Night. Between Fat Man and this.
Yeah.
Two great violent Santa movies.
Yeah, let's play a little bit of this. Here we go.
You have $300 million in your personal vault. That's what I want for Christmas.
Santa, are you there? Daddy said you were very busy tonight.
Are you gonna help us, Santa?
Yeah, Trudy.
Santa?
No, my nice list.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Time for some season's beatings.
It is so good. Oh, my God.
I love when he does this, a little small clip where he takes a bite of the cookie like he's like,
huh? Okay. Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah. There's a scene. I don't want to give too much away. This is the only one I'll tell you that. But he's standing there and one of these, you know, terrorists or whatever, these robbers is, obviously, they've had a fight. And yeah. He takes a candy cane. He sticks it in his mouth. And by the time he pulls it out, it's sharpened on the end. Uh-huh. And he just jams it through the guy's face.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. It is so good.
I hope he does. I hope Harbor does.
Yes. Because he's the best.
Yeah, bro.
Sorry, I just glanced at the clock. Oh.
Here it is. MMR's. Yoo-hoo Loot. Now, listen up. Here's your keyword.
All right, the word is conquest. I'll spell that for you. C-O-N-Q-U-E-S-T. C-O-N-Q-U-E-S-T. Conquest. You have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter that. There are three ways to do this. You can text it to the special contest short code number, which is 45911. Or you can enter it via the MMR app or at WMMR.com. One random entry wins $1,000 in this company-wide contest. And each winner gets a call from Beasley, so make sure that you answer your phone. Contest rules available at WMMR.com. It is sponsored by Horizon Services. So again, the word is conquest, C-O-N-Q-U-E-S-T. So good luck for you there. We have got some more. You know, I just solicited for a contest. I'm not going to give this away right now, but when we come back, I probably will. But our friends from Red Robin are here, and I just want to mention that once again.
Oh, yeah.
Back by popular demand is the Red Robin Cheesy Bacon Fondue Effin' Burger. I added the effin' part.
Uh-huh.
Fire grilled beef burger topped with American cheese, hardwood smoked bacon, and mayo on a toasted brioche bun served with cheesy bacon fondue for dipping and bottomless steak fries. Oh, yeah. That's my regular Saturday night.
It's going to be your regular Saturday night.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back in a second. I'll do some giveaways with that when we return. But we've also got lesson question, trash and music news, that stuff coming up. Stay there.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them, too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly. Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
It is another beautiful day today. It's going to be the best one of the week, by the way, because not only do we get beautiful sunshine, we get comfy temperatures. 77 is our high. It's going to feel great today. Cooling off a fair amount. Tomorrow, our high temperature is 60. The sunshine continues for the next foreseeable days, all the way up through Tuesday at least. But the temperature is a little bit on the cooler side. 60 tomorrow, 65 on Sunday. Monday, 68. That's good. And the same thing on Tuesday as well. But we have good weather.
Oh, yeah.
As far as precipitation. Dude. That guy, what all is he using? We could use him.
I want to get that dude. He was in a number of movies. His Oscar winning.
Oh, yeah. He's also the guy that says, oh, yeah, what if somebody called my mama a whore?
Is she? And then he snaps the pencil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
I oughta.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's do something else. Let's ask a question and give away a prize. We have a lesson question, and we're going to give away a pair of tickets for the Flyers home opener Thursday, October 13th at the Wells Fargo Center. The question is as follows. It's Tico Torres' birthday today.
Yes, it is.
What other two people should he hang out with? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer to that. All right, who does Tico Torres get to hang out with on his birthday? 215-263-WMMR. Call now if you know the answer.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
This morning, it is brought to you by Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia, and they present comedian Jay Moore coming Saturday, October 8th. Tickets are on sale at livecasinophilly.com. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. What's going on, Steve?
Well, former Miss Universe Olivia Culpo revealing that her ex-boyfriend made her feel less than human Coppo says there were times he acted as if she wasn't the most beautiful woman in the universe.
Aww. Oh, my.
It's got to kill you.
Yeah.
Taylor Swift's new song titled Look What You Made Me Do is reportedly another veiled diatribe about former boyfriend Jake Gyllenhaal. For his part, Gyllenhaal says he should have dated a pit bull because they eventually let go. And finally, Giselle Bundchen. TMZ reporting that Giselle Bundchen left Tom Brady because she feared he would develop CTE if he continued to play football. Bundchen says she feared Brady had early signs of brain damage after swearing he saw Gary Busey pleasuring himself on a park bench.
Oh, my God.
Wow. You remember that picture?
I do remember that picture, yeah. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the lesson question this morning. And we need to find out. It's Tico Torres' birthday. Who else should he hang out with? 215-263-WMMR. We are going to go to Brendan and see if we can get an answer. Hey, Brendan, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Good, buddy. All right, so Tico Torres should hang out with what other two people?
Taco and Tito.
Yes. Taco and Tito hanging out with Tico Torres. Brendan is walking away with some tickets to see the Flyers home opener. It's Thursday, October 13th, Wells Fargo Center. And the Flyers return to the ice for the 2022-23 home opener presented by Smart Water. And with a matchup, it's against New Jersey Devils on October 13th. And all fans get a Flyers home opener t-shirt. Tickets are on sale now at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com. Now, before I enter into music news, let me give away $50 Red Robin gift cards.
Nice.
I will take callers 8 and 9 at 215-263-WMMR. You can enjoy delicious burgers for the whole family at Red Robin near you. Red Robin.
Yum.
All right. We'll do the music news now.
Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Brought to you by...
Wait.
What?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Brought to you this morning by Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, focused on being the best at one thing and getting it right every time. Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, now open in Fairless Hills in the court at Oxford Valley. One love. We'll begin with the fact that out today is Omens, the ninth studio album by five-time Grammy Award-nominated Lamb of God. The 10-song set was produced by Josh Wilbur, who worked with Lamb of God on four previous albums. And it was recorded at Henson Studios in Hollywood.
Jim Henson?
What's that?
Jim Henson?
No. Well, that's a good question. So frontman D. Randall Blythe talked about recording there. He said that he's not particularly fond of the recording studio process, but he found working at Henson, actually, which was established by Charlie Chaplin and later became A&M Records home, to be very inspiring. He said, I tried to sort of internalize that vibe, the history of the place. It was also really cool because they had Charlie Chaplin's private screening room. So my girl was out there, and as Henson owns the studio, here you go. Henson had the Muppets.
Huh.
And, of course, he said, of course, here. And they had a bunch of killer Dark Crystal memorabilia.
Oh, that's cool.
Like full-size Skeksis.
Yes.
I don't know Dark Crystal.
Some of the beings that populate the movie.
And puppets from it. So I got to watch the Dark Crystal with my girl, just me and her, in Charlie Chaplin's private screening room. It was very interesting. He showed Winston Churchill movies there, so it was a really cool feeling, he said.
Did they play a Churchill's Kung Fu movie?
No, I didn't.
That's really cool.
I didn't even know that existed.
I'm going to karate chop your face.
So they are they're happy to be presenting this album, and Lamb of God will celebrate Omen's release today with a performance at the Aftershock Festival in Sacramento, California. Physical copies of Slipknot's new album have the wrong title on the cover.
Oh, no.
One fan updated...
You might have a collector's item, Kathy.
Yeah. a photo of their vinyl copy of the album that showed the title The End For Now. The album is actually entitled The End So Fan.
The End So Fan?
I have a feeling that's a typo.
Wait, yeah.
What? Yeah, I assume it should be The End So Far.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's a typo in my copy
as well.
Throughout the comment section, other fans confirmed that their copy had the misprint as well. One person noted that they purchased every variant that the album was available in, and each of them had the misprint. Another person added the cassette version contained this error, too. Corey Taylor addressed the misprint when asked about it, and he said that the end so far was always the intended title for the record, but that somebody effed up and didn't double-check with them.
So this is the end so far?
No. Oh. The end so far, but the end for now is what some of these people got. While promoting his new hit album, Patient Number 9, Ozzy Osbourne touched upon lead members of Van Halen. He spoke about the band who famously opened for and, according to many, stole the show from Black Sabbath back in 1978. He recalled to Revolver magazine, Eddie was such a great guy. They came to our local pub, and it was good fun. But David Lee Roth, he's lost a couple of nuts and bolts, is what he said.
Ozzy is saying this.
He said, when you meet him, it's like, what's wrong with him? He's like somewhere else, you know? Regarding Eddie's long-rumored rivalry with Ozzy's late great guitarist, Randy Rhoads, Ozzy admitted they were arch enemies. He said Randy didn't have a lot to say about Eddie. They were very, very similar guitar players. Eddie took that tapping thing to another level. He said Randy could do that, but he liked people like Leslie West. And it amazes me that you get Eddie, you get Randy, and you go, no one's ever going to top that. But there's a new thing around every corner.
Yeah, it's true.
Ozzy spoke frankly about his relationship with fellow Black Sabbath co-founder Tommy Iommi, who's but one of several guitarists that lend their work to Patient Number 9.
It's complicated.
Ozzy revealed, Tony, God bless him, he comes to my rescue. And in actual fact, since we've made up, he's been really supportive, calls me regularly to see how I'm doing. He went on to say, if it wasn't for Tony Iommi, there never would have been a Black Sabbath. We've had arguments. We've fallen out. We've made up. It's just like a marriage. You get divorced, you get back together. But Tony Iommi and I can never deny this. There's not a man on the face of the earth that comes up with these gutty, dark, heavy riffs. He's the king of the riffs, he said. The estate of late Ramones frontman Joey Ramone has sold the stake of his publishing rights and non-exclusive rights to the singer's name and likeness for $10
million. $10
million? $10
million. $10 million.
That's like a billion.
According to the...
like a billion?
It was like a billion.
According to the Wall Street Journal, the acquisition was part of a much larger $2 billion partnership.
That's like a billion.
Between independent publisher Primary Wave Music and investment company Brookfield Asset Management.
That seems actually light for that.
It does, but they had gone back and forth on this deal like nine times.
This is a stake of his publishing rights,
okay.
So I don't know what all that means. I don't know if it means all of it or not.
Steak was what he used to eat every Saturday night.
You're going to be my regular Saturday night thing, baby. Oh, yeah.
Joey's brother, Mitchell Hyman, better known as musician Mickey Lee, said in a statement announcing the deal, I'm happy to welcome Primary Wave as partners in my brother's interest in Ramones. I'm thoroughly convinced of their eagerness to perpetuate his legacy and their sincerity about doing it in a way that will never compromise his credibility. I very much am looking forward to working with them.
The great thing about Ramones music for commercial applications is that it gets right into it.
Oh,
all
yeah.
the songs,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
there's no big lead in.
And then finally, Daily Rush video, new one, and it is when Larkin Poe came by here.
Oh, yeah.
One of my favorite musical mornings
Love
ever
him.
On the Preston and Steve Show. The sisters stop in. It couldn't have been nicer. Rebecca and Megan played Holy Ghost Fire, and then they played Strike Gold, which had never, ever been played in public before. First time ever right here on our show.
It was a world premiere. They were actually listening from the Vatican.
Was it? I did not know that. But they actually had the handwritten lyrics so
yeah.
they wouldn't forget the words.
That's awesome.
It's such a new song. They also tell how the Bonnie Raitt blessed their guitar. They tell us that story. So be the first to see the newest Daily Rush videos by subscribing to our YouTube channel, not yours. I'm sure yours is great.
Subscribe to yours, too, though. Find out what you've been up to.
Yeah, if you haven't smashed that subscribe button on your own account.
Smash it.
With a hammer.
Wow.
Yeah. Sponsored by Xfinity's GigSpeed Internet. You can learn more at Xfinity.com. And that's it. That's all I have in music news for you. We have one final break to take. We're going to do that. We'll come back. We'll give away the Word of the Week prize, turn it over to Pierre, and let you get into your weekend. We'll be back in just a moment.
Did you know you can listen to all of WMMR's podcasts as well as our live stream on your Alexa-enabled device? It's easy. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Nice. Dave Matthews Band, 93.3 WMMR. What would you say? Maybe with Casey's little additions to that song.
I like it.
What? A little bit of what? The what would you say? 10:36 in the Preston and Steve Show.
Do you know what that what is from?
That's is that Arlen Specter?
Arlen Specter.
Yeah, yeah. It was a press conference that had the worst audio ever recorded.
Yeah, it was a bit that Steve had done, which used to crack me up. Could you find
that?
Yeah,
we have it. We have it.
Could you find that? Because it was Arlen Specter was. Uh-huh. I think he'd won the election, and he was talking about getting a concession call.
Right, right, yeah.
From his competitor, and he's at a press conference telling this, and the audio gave out, and then Steve did this bit where he added to it, and it just always cracked me up. Go ahead, Case.
That was the time when we exercised a unity. Congressman Pat Toomey called me and very graciously offered his congratulations, and I returned congratulations to Congressman Toomey.
So do they not check the audio when they're recording and stuff like that?
I've always loved that. All right, it's thank you time. I would like to thank comedian Michael Palasak, who was on the show this morning.
Yeah.
Punchline, very, very nice guy.
He was very nice.
Enjoyable conversation with him. So you can go to punchlinephilly.com to get tickets and see him. Thank you to wrestler Bailey, who is here this morning. WWE Extreme Rules. She's going for the championship in the ladder match this weekend. She's a bad guy, but she was really nice. Yeah, she's really awesome. Cool. And then finally, Beverly D'Angelo.
Yeah.
We had a short conversation with her, but she was great. And she was promoting this film called The Good House, which is in theaters now. And look for this movie down the road that she's going to be in called Violent Night. Search out the trailer. It looks great. And thank you to Red Robin.
Red Robin
came by and brought some fantastic food, including their Red Robin Cheesy Bacon Fondue Burger, which is fantastic. And Pierre, they brought Impossible Burgers too.
Oh, really?
So I don't know if there's any left.
I don't know.
But they did have some Impossible meat in case you were interested.
All right. I'd go that way.
Excellent. How you doing, man?
Excellent.
Wonderful.
It's lovely outside, and hopefully you kids can get out of here right away.
I'm planning on it.
So many days, Preston and Steve, most folks don't know this, but they have like meetings and all this work that they do that takes them well after the program. So on a lovely day, I always try to encourage them to escape and
we try to heed your advice
and run out and soak up the day.
Good choice of word. Escape.
Yeah.
Yes.
Escape.
We're going to take off.
Like the Pina Colada song.
A lot like that.
Yeah.
That's the official title of that song.
Not really anything like that. Yeah. Escape it connotates fun things and light things and beautiful things and removing yourself from the architectural disaster that is if One Ballad like Plaza.
Your favorite song.
It's a beautiful song. Beautiful.
It's ghastly.
It's the kind of thing that those sort of club singers like you know, Steve and Edie Gourmet would come out and sing that on the Mike Mike Douglas show.
Oh my God!
If you enjoy pina coladas,
oh, that's great. I could see that. All right. How about that letter?
How about it?
How about
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
I am the President Steve Jones, brought to you today by the letter.
N as in neurotic.
All right, and we now are going to take caller number 6 at 215-263-WMMR to see if you have kept track of all 5 of those letters and now have a word. And if so, and you get through and you're the caller, we will set you up with this very cool prize that we have. What's coming up on your program today, dude?
More Yoo-Hoo Loot at noon, and then with me and Jackson at 3. That'll be fun. And also Workforce Blocks of Dire Straits. You can't go wrong with that band.
Love them.
Aren't they amazing?
They're great.
Amazing. And John Mellencamp for his birthday today. And Muse in honor of what we have to give away here shortly.
Yep, absolutely. All right, it's going to be a good one. So we will see if we can find someone who happens to know what the word of the week is. And that person we're going to try out with is Jody. Hi there, Jody.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Wonderful. How you doing?
Good. It's a beautiful day.
Yes, and it would be wonderful to win something. So give us a word, and we'll see if that's correct.
Moving.
Great day in the morning.
Jody, you got it.
That's awesome.
And you are moving on to Las Vegas for a trip that we have for you. Yeah, it's a home and away thing. So Muse is coming to town. They're going to be playing at the Wells Fargo Center. You're going to go to that show, which is Sunday, March 19th. And then we're going to fly you off to the Vegas show. I don't have the date on the Vegas show, but we'll get that information.
But you're going next year.
Yeah. So hang on the line. Congratulations to you, okay?
Thank you. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Hold on. We'll get your information. We'll set you up. And don't forget that tickets for that Wells Fargo Center show are on sale now. They went on sale about 42 minutes ago at 10 a.m. You can go to Wells Fargo Center Philly.com. Complete details at WMMR.com to find out all you need to know about
the date. Is April 8th, Preston.
April 8th.
It's April 8th.
Okay. April 8th is when that's going
to
be.
No, they've changed it. The official calendar society has now changed April to April.
All right, everyone. Make a note of that, please. I want to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show brought to you today by Acme Markets Fresh Foods, local flavors. Also brought to you by Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, now open in Fairless Hills in the court at Oxford Valley. One love. And also brought to you by Trinity Rehab, locations all over and now open in King of Prussia. Trinity-Rehab. Casey just threw this in my face and wants me to mention this one more time, that our big friggin' deal at WMMR.com is 2 tickets to the Bates Motel and Haunted Attraction.
Take advantage of it, especially this weekend.
Number one haunted attraction in America. You get it for half price, folks. So go to WMMR.com, use the keyword deal, and it's while supplies last. Next week, we're going to worry about next week.
Yes. Right?
That's it. We're done.
That's my kind of planning.
Rage on. Have a great weekend. We'll see you later.
I thought I'd teach these kids something, and I finally taught them something. Don't plan ahead.
Bye-bye.
I don't know.
WMMR.
Hey, everybody, it's good to have you on the
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.